93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today's Tuesday, May 8th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, cleanup and repairs continue at the airport. A water main break at Philadelphia International Airport caused problems yesterday. Shortly before 4 o'clock, airport officials said there was no water pressure throughout all of the airport's terminals.
Oh, Jesus.
Water could be seen gushing out of the pavement in the economy parking lot near Terminal E. Officials said it was a 16-inch main that ruptured and caused significant water pressure issues throughout the terminals at the airport, including the public restrooms. Bathrooms couldn't be used because they were filled up and clogged. One airport patron said liquid from the restrooms was spilling into the main corridors. Oh, some restaurants were closed for sanitary reasons, but others apparently remained open.
Could you imagine you come off of a flight?
to that?
That's the one thing you want to do, right? You go running for the bath. You can't do it.
Yeah.
In the interim, airport officials distributed hand sanitizer.
Oh, that'll do.
To all the restrooms.
Oh, my God.
Announcements could be heard throughout the facility alerting passengers to the water pressure problem.
Where is this, the video footage that we're looking at right now? It's an overhead shot of a parking lot.
That's the economy parking lot.
Oh, the
terminal,
sure.
Terminal E.
Well, yeah. That's why you save, because it occasionally floods with raw sewage.
Yeah, you have to wade through the sewage.
Yeah,
but you save big.
Yeah. You make up for the cleaning bill.
And there are different tiers. You get either urine or urine and poop.
Oh, my God. This looks horrible.
It is.
After about 3 hours, the water department was able to shut down the ruptured line and reroute the water to the airport through another main. Now, they're saying that they're lucky that they were able to reroute it because the repairs are going to take some time. Mm. The Philadelphia Parking Authority towed a number of cars, Preston, in that parking lot out to facilitate repairing the main. So they were taking cars out of there. And people, once they landed, they had to figure out where to go get their car.
Wow.
Lava crawled down a road in Leilani Estates on the Big Island in a hissing, popping mess. Molten rock from the Kilauea volcano.
I'm just going to apply to every story this morning.
You won't for the last one.
Okay.
Has burst through the ground, destroying more than 24 homes and resulting in evacuation orders for nearly 2,000 people. For many people outside of Hawaii, it's hard to understand why anyone would risk living near an active volcano with such destructive power. But the slopes of Kilauea offer affordable land and a lush rural setting that attract a hardy breed of independent Hawaiians.
Okay, so it is more affordable if you live near the active volcano.
They're living on the volcano.
Okay.
Did you ever watch that? We talked about this Hawaiian real estate show.
Oh, yeah, but I never remember the volcano. I used to watch it occasionally, but I never remember the volcano being part of the discussions.
Right. But I actually do, because I remember my wife and I were watching, and they had different zones.
Okay.
And the people would ask what zone the house was in. As far as lava flow zone, I guess.
Hawaii is stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah.
But watching that show, it's like, okay, this is wonderful. But remember, it floods 8 months out of the year.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
you have centipedes that'll crawl into your brain.
The active volcano on the other side.
I found it very interesting because, where they live, I mean, they can't get homeowners insurance where they are.
It's like living near a river that floods constantly.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Pretty much what it is.
I had sent you an article earlier this morning, Preston, that explains why this volcano doesn't explode and just simply oozes.
Okay.
And it has to do with the composition of the sediment.
Well, it's also older. Remember how when you were younger...
Yeah, you can't pee as forcefully.
right. Yeah. Well, Nick has video footage, and you guys have seen it in this guy's backyard, basically, of the lava. It bubbles. It shoots up a good 20, 30 feet in the air in these little mini pops, and it's gorgeous. It's really awesome to look at, but obviously it's deadly, you know? You get anywhere near it, and you're going to burn.
Do you know what's wild is that you have this creeping... In some areas, you see the pictures all over the place in the video, just this creeping thing moving forward, and there's not a damn thing you can do.
Yeah.
On Sunday, some of the more than 1,700 people who evacuated were allowed to return briefly to gather medicine, pets, and other necessities. They will be able to do so each day as long as authorities believe it is safe. The subdivision lies within the Puna District, a region of mostly unpaved rows of volcanic rock, about a 30-minute drive from the coastal town of Hilo. Everyone in the district lives on the volcano. The people here are largely self-sufficient and understand the risks of the location. Like I mentioned, they can't get homeowners insurance, and it's a thick jungle as well as dark fields of lava rock from past eruptions. Homeowners use rainwater catch tanks and cesspools or septic tanks. Most rely on solar power, and some live entirely off the electrical grid.
They closed the national park as well, too, on National Park. That's shut down. So, I mean, they're limiting the visitors that are coming in and out, which hopefully will help some efforts.
There hasn't been any fatalities or any injuries right now. Though isn't the rumor or the legend that if you take any rock or volcanic rock from the island, it's bad?
Bad luck.
Yeah. There are people that swear by it.
Well, there was one woman who she took like some sort of plant or something, and as the lava was flowing down, she like placed it in
as
front.
As a sacrifice or something?
That she's part of the island and, you know, please spare us. And, you know, it's these people that live over on the volcano.
The island's eating enough trees and, you know.
It's good.
The lava's good, so, but I know what you're saying.
It's good. I'm actually full at this point.
Yeah.
God.
Scary, though.
Yeah.
A Philadelphia mother is facing murder charges in the suspicious death of her 2-year-old daughter. Police charged Diana Taylor on Monday. Her daughter was found Friday inside their home on Wilbur Street in Somerton. Police have not said how the little girl was killed, but police have arrested and charged the 2-year-old's mother, and no additional details have been given. In sports this morning. The Sixers season is not over yet. Last night in South Philly, they avoided elimination in Game 4 with a 103-92 win over the Celtics to force a Game 5 tomorrow night in Boston. The Celtics still lead the series 3-1. Head coach Brett Brown changed his lineup as guard TJ McConnell started the game and forward Robert Covington was brought in off the bench. The move paid off as McConnell scored 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and had no turnovers in 39 minutes. In the other Eastern Conference series, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers ended Toronto's season for the third straight year with a second consecutive 4-game sweep as the Cavs advanced to the conference finals for the 4th year in a row. James finished with 29 points and 11 assists, leading Cleveland to a 128-93 win in Game 4. The Phillies also won. Yeah. Odubel Herrera homered twice and drove in 5 runs, helping Zach Eflin. And the Phillies rout the San Francisco Giants 11-0. Carlos Santana and Cesar Hernandez also hit home runs for the Phillies, and Eflin struck out a career-high 9 in 6 2/3 innings. Herrera reached base in his last 36 games, dating back to last year, the longest such streak for the Phillies since Jimmy Rollins had a 38-game run between the 2005-2006 seasons. Herrera is batting .341 this year. The series continues tonight, and Aaron Nola gets the start. Game time is at 7:05. In the NHL playoffs, a 2-1 overtime win in Game 6 gave the Washington Capitals a 4-2 series win. The Pittsburgh Penguins and a spot in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. In the Western Conference, Philip Forsberg had 2 goals and an assist, and Pekka Rinne stopped 34 shots for his second shutout of the playoffs. The Nashville Predators beat the Winnipeg Jets 4-0 to force a decisive Game 7 in their series, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. I do like this text from somebody. It said, I learned everything I need to know about Hawaii from watching The Brady Bunch.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. Everything you have right there in that that 2-part episode.
It's all true.
Remember. Yep.
Yes.
So welcome to Tuesday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. Final week of MMR's birthday bucks. 50 years, and we're giving away a lot of cash. And the time is not up yet. It is running a tad bit short, though. So 5 opportunities today. We start that at 8 a.m. Don't miss your chance to win that money. We have an announcement. We said yesterday we did a teaser for our announcement. We did a pre-announcement announcement that we're going to have details on Rock Allegiance. This time, for realsies, we've got the
for
actual
reals
information for you. So that'll be coming up as close to 8 o'clock. So around the time that we do birthday bucks, we're going to reveal the info on Rock Allegiance.
I think the bill is going to blow a lot of people's minds.
It's it's a little wacky.
It is.
And I don't use the word wacky lightly. But
it is wacky.
It's wait till you hear about it. So we'll get you those details. We also found out yesterday that our old friend from the Philadelphia Union, Sebastian Letoux, is going to be retiring from professional soccer. They have actually signed him to a 1-day contract so he can retire as a member of the union.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so and he's doing
and he
it,
deserves to. Yeah.
He's doing it today, and he's going to swing by this morning.
That's awesome.
Very happy to see him. He's a great guy, and we'll spend some time a little bit later on. Our friends from Dietz and Watson are coming by. Real Philly Deli Tour. We'll make sure we promote that. Casey's got another video coming up, I'm sure.
I mean, there'll be a quarter of a million sandwiches in the green room.
Always. So Sebastian will be happy.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get to dine on a wonderful deli.
And we'll continue with Jace thinking that I work at a hoagie shop.
Exactly. You keep bringing them home?
Because every time he loves hoagies, and every time I bring it home, he's like, are you going to bring me hoagies again from work?
Nice.
Like,
that's it, yeah. You work at a deli.
You know, I do these every month, and I always go home with a hoagie. They always offer Nick Murphy, who was our video director, a hoagie. He never takes one home. I don't.
Just like, you know the story, right? His father was murdered by a hoagie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, so it's bad. Shoot.
A little sensitive.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have brought that up.
Yeah, man. You brought up a sore point.
I'm embarrassed.
Nice going.
And then since today's Tuesday, we have listener Ashley coming in to get some ink. And, you know, I always have names of tattoo artists here. I'm just not going to say them because you never know who the hell shows up.
No, it's always wrong.
So we'll find out who that is a little bit later on this morning. Let's take a break because I have a whole bunch of entertainment stories. And I've mixed them up in a certain flavor.
All right.
I'll explain when we get back.
I like flavor.
The stupid question is on the way as well. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
There you go. The crowd loves you.
Wild.
All right.
Thank you.
Stupid question this morning. We give away some tickets to Brewfest, PA's premier craft beer festival. It's going to be at Mount Hope May 12th. And the question that I have for you this morning, Moby Dick, of course, by Herman Melville, describes the hunt for a great giant white whale. What species of whale was Moby Dick?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. What species of whale was Moby Dick? Let's see if you know the answer. Call right now, 215-263-WMMR. Today is Tuesday, May 8th, and some birthdays I'll rattle off while I am waiting for you to get through. We'll start with the drummer. I like that.
Okay.
It is Alex Van Halen's birthday today.
Ah.
Alex is celebrating his 65th birthday.
I remember when I first heard this song and this opening. It's like, that's got to be the fastest drumming I've ever heard. But it's really not.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
It really is. No, it's no mistake about it. Alex Van Halen is a great drummer. He kind of gets snubbed a little bit and overshadowed by his brother Eddie, who is an absolute virtuoso. And a groundbreaker in rock guitar. But Alex is a damn fine drummer, man. I've always been impressed by him. I never did. I mean, I can play a little bit of Hot for Teacher. That intro is very, very
is
hard.
It?
I can't get that intro right.
Is it foot pedals as well? Is that what it is?
He's playing double bass, but he's doing some interesting rhythms with his hands as well. So Alex known to be a pretty cantankerous guy from what I understand.
He's a prick.
That's what I hear. Yeah. So there you go. C'est la vie. He is 65 years old today, Alex Van Halen. Stephen First of Animal House.
Wow. You guys playing cards?
That's him. Flounder.
He's Kent, dead, man.
Kent the Dorf Dorfman. What?
Yeah, I thought he was dead. Yeah.
He's dead?
Yeah.
When did he die?
Oh, God!
Last year.
Luckily, I kept the receipt on the gift.
He died back in June.
Oh, man.
May I have 10,000 marbles, please?
Wow.
I think it happened over the blood drive weekend, and we didn't get much of a chance to talk about it when we got back to work the next Monday. So
you can skip the marbles because I'm dead.
Oh, wait. Sure enough. Yeah, I was just wondering. It was diabetes. It was complications from diabetes.
Yeah. In fact, we talked about it when he died. Yeah, I remember that.
That's too bad.
I didn't know that at all. I don't remember it happening. So now I'm really bummed out.
I know. That's never good to hear about somebody you've always enjoyed, in a character like that.
I just watched it on cable, too.
Yeah.
Is he the only, of that cluster?
Of the main group?
To pass? I think he is, right?
Of the main group, because, you know, Stork died, the guy behind.
Well, Belushi, too.
And Belushi.
Yeah.
Half of them are dead.
They're all dead! They're all dying!
So Stephen Furstwell, he will be missed.
Yeah,
64 years old today.
Happy birthday!
No. Actor David Keith, he's still alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now David Keith is a guy that when he first came on the scene, I was confusing with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I would get him. You know who I actually get him confused with in certain roles?
Goldie Hawn.
No, Rooker, Michael Rooker.
Yeah, very similar.
They both have a real intense way about them. Yeah. You know, although he can be David Keith has done some pretty. He's played some likable characters. I mean, an Officer and Gentleman is pretty tragic, but he's a real likable guy, the character that he plays.
Where he's a really likable guy is he's the dad in Firestarter.
Yeah, you're right. And another good movie, U-571, yep. Behind Enemy Lines. He's a solid actor. He's 64 today. It's Melissa Gilbert's birthday today.
Wow.
Little House on the Prairie. And she was actually, for a stretch, she was our, before we were with the union, she was
Yes.
The head of SAG.
She left when she heard we were going to be a part of the union.
Yeah, she was the president
no
of the union.
No effing way.
And remember when her and Billy Idol were an item?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She and Billy Idol were together.
And she was married to Bruce Boxleitner. Kathy, I know you're a big Babylon 5 fan.
Yes.
Who the hell is that?
Huge Bruce fan.
He was in the series How the West Was Won and Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Okay. She celebrates her 54th birthday today. And then the last birthday I saw is from the cast of Arrow, Stephen Amell.
Yes, Arrow.
That is Arrow.
The main man.
That dude's in crazy shape.
Did you see him? He competed on one of the Ninja Mountain Warriors things.
No, seriously?
He rocked it. Yeah.
Oh,
the guy does all that thing where you hold on to the bar and you move up the bar by like launching your body up.
Oh,
yeah.
That's easy.
That's how he trains.
Yeah, you jump it up like 2 feet
and
grab onto the next. It's,
yeah, 2 feet if you're a pussy.
Yeah. Case?
I do like 4 feet at a time.
4 feet at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it's on an escalator, yes. But it's still impressive.
It looks like you ought to be able to do that. You know
no,
what I mean?
No
I
one
look
does.
At it, I see it. No, I mean, I see it. I'm like, sure, okay.
I can do that. Yeah.
And then if I ever actually tried to do it, my arms would rip out of my side.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to look at any of those, like the one, all right, I'm like, I could do the rope wall. I'm pretty sure I could do the rope wall. And then in the very beginning when they kind of run across those slanted pad wall.
Yeah, they're angled to the side, and you're kind of shucking and jiving from left to right.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about. Or how about just running up that, 10-foot wall,
No way. Couldn't do that.
It's crazy, but this guy did that. Wow, okay. So Stephen Amell is 37 years old today. Those are the birthdays I have. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In Moby Dick, what species of whale was Mr. Dick? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to, let's try Caitlin, see if she knows the answer. Hey, Caitlin, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Caitlin, so what kind of whale was Moby Dick?
The sperm whale.
Dick was a sperm, that's right. Here we go. Absolutely correct. Hang on, Caitlin. For you... We are going to give you some tickets to go to Brewfest, and that is PA's premier craft beer festival at Mount Hope on May 12th with more than 50 breweries, food vendors, and live music. Brewfest details and tickets at PARenfair.com, by the way. All right, so here's what I'm doing with the...
To make it more flavorable.
Well,
there's
some heavy stuff.
Okay.
There's a lot of heavy stuff.
All right.
So I'm going to go light and heavy, and light and heavy, and light and heavy.
One.
Believe it or not, the first one is kind of light. No Kardashians, no Jenners, none of that today.
That's right. Okay. I have some in the celebrity trash.
We're leading with Johnny Depp. Johnny, and believe it or not, this is a lighter story. Johnny attacked a location manager on the set of Labyrinth, insiders tell Page
Six. They're remaking Labyrinth.
I guess so.
Huh.
I don't know if this is the same Labyrinth that we know. It might be a completely... No, actually, it's a different story because it's about an LAPD today.
Okay, that's the same story, Preston.
No, it's not. So apparently, he yelled at the film pro before being pulled off of him, "I'll give you $100,000 to punch me right now."
He wanted him to start up a fight.
I guess.
Yeah.
"I'll give you $100,000 to punch me."
You'd punch me right in the face.
The film...
"I'm a cowboy." "You varmint?" "You're nothing but a low-down, dirty varmint."
The film follows the story of real-life LAPD Detective Russell Poole, who probed the murder of Biggie Smalls. So that's
what that's about. Okay.
Depp plays Poole in the film. The trouble on the toxic set reportedly started when Depp opted to direct a scene in which he cast two friends. One is another cop and one is a homeless man.
All right, so you act and then I'll act. Roll them.
A source said Johnny's friends were in the scene, and it just turned into way more than it should have been. It was a
director agreed to this?
I guess so. It was a street in L.A. It had to be shut down for the filming, and when the permit ran out, Johnny tried to dig in.
Hey, man, can I direct this one?
And eventually, when they absolutely had to wrap for the day, director Brad Furman told the location manager to tell Depp that you know, it was time to wrap it up. So Depp had allegedly been smoking and drinking on the set.
That's so weird.
Was causing him to lose his temper and take a swing at the location manager, according to a report. But Furman disputes that story. He said Johnny Depp is a consummate professional, great collaborator, and a supporter of the arts.
So it, he says it didn't happen. The guy who was supposedly yelled at.
No. The director.
The director
not,
says it.
Yeah, this is not the the guy that told him. So he wasn't on location.
Okay.
The director wasn't. So he had told the whoever was in charge that day to wrap it up. Anyhow. He said that movies can be stressful and non-events often become exaggerated. We all love stories. This isn't one here. So that's according to Brad Furman. But a source says Johnny got into it with the a location manager. That's who it was.
Yeah. There's an article I sent you about his the rise and fall of Johnny Depp. And there's a lot of stuff going on, man. You look at him. You look at him years ago, like around the Gilbert Grape time.
Yeah.
And now he's
he's a mess.
Yeah, he's a mess.
And he's drinking way too much.
I'm a cowboy.
Yeah. Two former NBC employees are claiming that they are victims of racial discrimination. The pair, who are white, are suing NBC and Questlove. This is according to The Blast and TMZ. Kurt Decker and Michael Cimino claim that they were fired after receiving an unsolicited racist and misogynist text message from a Tonight Show stagehand. The pair worked as cameramen on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon after they allegedly received the racist text message, which also went to black stagehands. They claim the band leader, Questlove, singled them out and moved to protect the black NBC employees while encouraging NBC to fire them. NBC and Questlove deny the allegations and have requested that the case be dismissed or moved to arbitration. They also claim the decision to fire the pair was NBC's alone. So in new court papers, Decker and Cimino point to a tweet that Questlove sent out admitting to his involvement by tweeting a link to the original story and writing that time I got sued for being offended by racism.
So this guy, these guys.
I don't know exactly what happened.
So they all, these guys, the camera guys contend that some guy on the staff just sent it to a bunch of people. And so they received it, but they didn't, had not solicited the email or whatever it was.
The text, yeah.
The text. And so they were singled out because they were also African Americans who did receive the text as well. So it was sort of blanket sent out to a couple of people, and so they feel that they were made guilty by association. That's their claim.
Did they show the text to anybody?
No, actually, what happened is Questlove had saw the text and saw their names on it.
Okay,
because it was like a group text.
Okay,
it's kind of not fair. When you're like, I didn't ask for this.
Yeah, totally.
Right. And that's their claim. Yeah. Now
I think only that's the way it went down.
If that's the way it went, and the only way to get to the bottom of that, if you can, is with the arbitration, because both sides are sort of locked in and are saying different things.
Yeah, because then if you get this text and then you go, oh my God, this is so funny. Here, check this out. And then,
I hate, because you're perceived as complicit. It's like the time I was standing in line at the pizza place.
Yeah.
Racist pizza owner.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm standing in line and the guy, hey, you do comedy. I got a joke for you. And then launches into this racist joke, and everyone's looking at me like, Tommy! Is that me? Yeah.
I've been in, taxi cabs where somebody else in the cab is being really rude to the driver, and I'm like, God, man.
It's not me, yeah.
You know.
But you're...
I'm in the cab with this
to
a-hole.
To his perception, you're part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The new filing also points what it characterizes as NBC's pattern of sweeping misconduct under the rug. The cameramen specifically call out the allegations of misconduct filed against Tom Brokaw and Matt Lauer. Brokaw and Lauer have both been accused of sexual harassment, and Decker and Cimino claim that the network stood behind them despite allegations they were well aware of.
Don't get me wrong, I do love a good racist joke.
Furthermore, Decker and Cimino claim
that some of the stuff I'm into. Really good racist jokes and kiddie porn.
Oh, dude.
I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
They claim that other female NBC employees were encouraged to speak out on their behalf. So
and
that,
snuff films.
That will continue. All right, a lighter story.
A lighter story.
That's right. Dwayne The Rock Johnson and DJ Khaled. Is that how you say his name?
Khalid. I heard Khalid, though I heard one of the supposed authorities say Khaled last night.
I've heard Khalid, Khalid. Now I've heard Khaled. I've
and
never
then
heard
yesterday I heard Cade. So it's all over the place.
Oh, that's right. That's a guy from American Idol.
American Idol, yeah.
All right, anyway, they got into an unanticipated throwdown on social media, and according to the internet, The Rock won hands down. Johnson shared his approach to pleasing the ladies deep down in the comments section of a story link tweeted by The Root, in which DJ Khaled had made his controversial approach to oral sex known to the world.
Right.
The Root had tweeted, DJ Khaled says he doesn't perform oral sex, but expects it from his wife because he's the king. And then they quoted different rules for men. The Rock's response was, and I quote, ahem, clear throat, as a man, I take great pride in mastering all performances. This is probably a little too much information. I will now quietly excuse myself from this fun thread.
Could you imagine The Rock giving oral? Wow. Chewed through her crotch, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Apparently the DJ Khaled gave this interview
years ago,
and it's just now resurfacing. And it's maybe some stupid stuff. He says he has, but apparently he expects oral sex, but does not like to give it.
He's just lazy, is what it is.
And he's very chunky.
Or you know how you never really
develop
really
get a taste for meringue
for certain things. Yeah, thinking, yeah, exactly.
I don't like Boston cream.
There are some people that just don't like that and will probably never. But as you get older, you notice your tastes do change.
Yeah, I came around on Mexican food.
Yeah.
In a marriage, you do things that you don't really like to do.
If the marriage is good and you're giving, you're both doing disgusting and depraved things.
I'm just talking all of it. I'm talking yard work, housework, sex work.
Yeah.
All of it. Even if you don't like it, you do it.
I have always found it enjoyable.
So do I.
Yes.
I put a lobster bib on.
Absolutely. I'm all for that.
Because the pleasure, besides, again, as we said, if you lead with something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure she has what's the movie, Alec Baldwin, give her cookies first.
Oh, yeah. You're not done till you both get
outside
cookies.
Outside Providence.
Outside Providence, yes. It's make sure she gets her cookies.
The tweet has gone. The tweet has gone viral, earning more than 91,000 likes, and it's probably going to earn The Rock a few new fans.
Sure. That's his next movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oral.
Oral, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. All right.
Preston, the video subway.
I love this video.
By the way, the video for this is, I guess it's in Australia, correct?
Yep.
Uh-huh, and it's a couple, and they're talking about, I guess, a wild dog that had wandered onto the property.
Yep.
And so it basically looks like a version of American Gothic. You have this, you know, the wife and the guy standing next to each other. And the guy describes how the dog was, like, making a sound and attacking. And so he starts flailing.
Yeah. We should actually have the whole thing because it's him talking right
before. Yeah, sure.
And I opened up the door and I went outside and then bang.
And the wife is, like, getting jostled a little bit. Like, I wish he would stop.
And the look on his face is hilarious.
Crazy dog guy. Yeah. Here's the full thing.
All right. Hold on. Here we go.
Now, yesterday morning, I came out into the front yard, and the dogs were across the road. And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over. And I just made it into the front yard.
You need to see the accompanying video.
And look at the wife's face like, oh, my God.
Because he almost runs her over.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't get whiplash throwing his head around like that.
And as soon as they saw me, they came bounding over.
and I just made it into the front door.
I bet he gives oil.
Of course he does.
He's a giver.
Yeah.
And he really got in the character, man, you know?
Yeah. He was just, you know, it's a preview of what's to come later that night. Yeah. And that's why she sticks around.
All right. Other stories. Let's go to this one. Several months after Jeffrey Tambor got ousted from Amazon's Transparent, he broke his silence. He sat down with a Hollywood Reporter to discuss to discuss his side of the story after being accused of sexually harassing Transparent actress Trace Lizette and former personal assistant Van Barnes. This is what he said. He said, this is the first time I've talked about this ever and probably the last time. He admits that he was blindsided by his ouster, which he learned of via text message on February 15th from the show's executive producer, Jill Soloway. Now,
she created the show, by the way.
Yeah, his character, Mara, was created by her based on her own father's transition. Yeah. So it's a personal story. Tambor said that when the accusations first surfaced, he anticipated getting chastised for his failure to control his temper on set, but that getting fired had never entered his mind.
When you read through this stuff and the way he was on the set, the way he is, what a bastard,
he
man.
Was a jerk.
A complete jerk.
Which, you know what? You think of Jeffrey Tambor as this really great, hey, lovable
character. Yeah, that guy, right.
Yeah. So he also stood by his original account. Wait, let me backtrack a second. He said, he said that I don't remember the whole conversation, he said, but I do remember her last words were, "Do you need help with a statement?" Tambor also stood by his original account that while he did not always use the best judgment, he never sexually harassed anyone. He said, "I dispute her account. I did raise my voice at times. I was moody at times. There were times when I was tactless. But as for the other stuff, absolutely not." He also acknowledges misbehaving on set. He said, "Lines got blurred. I was difficult. I was mean." So that's where he says lines got blurred.
Yes.
That's where he probably crossed the line
yeah.
in somebody's mind. And listen.
So his, I guess
if
his,
you're being a jerk
yeah.
and you're crossing lines are getting blurred,
right.
your time's limited.
And so it was it one of his assistant or somebody is a trans gender female, I believe.
Okay.
And so that's where this originally started because he was making comments to her. But now, if that was all that was happening, they might have tried to work with that. But the fact that he's an insufferable bastard on set,
yeah.
no, nah, they're not going to work with it.
They wanted him out of there.
So Netflix released the season 5 trailer for Arrested Development yesterday. It's up on PrestonandSteve.com. It looks hilarious. And he's in it.
He's in it, yeah.
So he's continuing to work, and sure. he just won't do it on Transparent anymore.
So he said, "I was scared because I was a cisgender male playing Mara Pfefferman. And my whole thing was, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? To the point where I worried myself to death." So Tambor is, that's what he's had to say about it in a nutshell. I don't know how much more is going to come out. I didn't read the whole article. But by the way, yeah, as you said, he's going to be Arrested Development. And Jill Soloway has confirmed that the show's Transparent show is upcoming fifth season is going to be its last.
Okay.
It's being reconceived following the ouster of Jeffrey Tambor.
You can't really do it without him.
No.
It's a good show, and I haven't watched all of them, but I watched the first two seasons or so. He's the star, and yeah. it's like taking Sam Malone off of Cheers.
They said, she said, hopefully this season sets the Pfeffermans up with some sort of beautiful reclaiming. I think that we're going to get there with some time. So we'll be wrapping up after the fifth season.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Should be nice at work.
This is awesome.
Yeah?
Rick Moranis.
Love him.
So he's retired from showbiz, pretty much keeps a low profile, but he's going to take a rare break from that to reprise his legendary role as Dark Helmet from Spaceballs on the Goldbergs tomorrow night.
That is phenomenal.
Now, unfortunately, it's just going to be his voice that he's providing.
Okay.
But according to USA Today, Moranis will lend his voice to a scene in this week's episode in which the show's main character, Adam, dreams about fighting Darth Vader, the Darth Vader parody, before promising to produce Spaceballs 2. So Adam Goldberg said, "I truly think Rick Moranis gave the most underrated and brilliant comedic performance of any 80s movie as Dark Helmet. I said, I've been a lifelong fan of his work and became obsessed with having him reprise the role on my show. As an added bonus, maybe this even gets my Spaceballs back into the conversation and I can get my dream of helping to make a sequel." So reportedly, Goldberg worked for several weeks to get Moranis' involvement because the formerly ubiquitous actor so rarely works in the entertainment industry anymore.
Yeah, when his wife passed away, he focused on raising his family and doing that, which is very commendable. He had a lot of hardships. A lot of people don't remember that when Spaceballs came out, it came out sort of well after the Star Wars phenomenon had worn off.
Way
after. Like, it seemed weirdly timed.
Yeah.
It did okay at the box office. I think it was a summer release. And then sort of just, okay, went on its way. But then when it hit cable, boom.
And there are a handful of movies that are like that. Yeah. My kids love Spaceballs. They've watched it. I can't tell you how many times. They absolutely love that movie. And I was surprised when they fell in love with it. I was like, really? You like this goofy flick? And they really, really dig it.
Because it's uneven, but it's the parts that are solid are really solid. Yeah. Very funny.
Rick Moranis, one of my favorite parts from him is when he is in his room alone and he's playing with his dolls.
Oh, my God, yes.
And Colonel Sanders comes in and he just wigs out.
Knock next time.
I love it. He is so good in that movie. So reportedly, Goldberg, like I said, worked for several weeks to try to get him on board. And he says that even though, you know, that he never really works, Rick Moranis, with projects, he will do stuff with Disney occasionally. Like in 2003, he voiced some characters in Brother Bear.
Wasn't there a Spaceballs animated series?
There was.
Yeah.
There absolutely was. Yeah. Right. I found that not too long ago. I meant to turn my kids on to that because they love the movie so much. And it was voiced by the original cast.
There you go.
Mel Brooks voices it.
Yeah.
The Spaceballs episode of the Goldbergs tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
I love that show.
ABC. All right. Now back down.
Sad story.
This is sad, man. This is horribly sad. The final days of Robin Williams were horrible and filled with sobbing and sadness, according to a new biography by Dave Itzkoff.
Well, that gives me some comfort.
No. The legendary,
it's horrible!
He committed suicide in 2014, 63 years old. He was struggling to remember his lines on the set of Night of the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. And according to his makeup artist, the people that do hair and makeup,
they hear everything.
They have very close relationships.
They're like therapists.
With the actors, exactly.
The guy who does my hair knows me better than anyone.
So
you guys are so close.
Oh, we're so close because he has nothing to do, so we end up talking so much.
Makeup artist Sherry Minns recalls in the book, he was sobbing in my arms at the end of every day.
Oh,
it was
God.
Horrible. She said,
so glad we're learning this.
And she goes, I said to his people, I'm a makeup artist. I don't have the capacity to deal with what's happening to him. So she was worried about him, obviously. She said that he felt like he'd lost touch with his deepest joy in life, which was comedy. She said he just cried and said, I can't, Sherry. I don't know how to do it anymore. I don't know how to be funny.
Do you know one of the greatest... All right, and we've been interviewed fairly frequently lately, Preston, about the 20th anniversary of the show.
Yeah.
And one of the things I forgot to mention is one of the best things that ever happened is we had him on the phone. We were doing an interview with him, and I made him laugh.
Yeah.
To make Robin Williams laugh was a banner moment.
He was suffering from Lewy body dementia, a type of brain disease that affected his control over his movement and thoughts. He had been incorrectly diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Minns says in the book, I put myself in his place, and I think of it this way. The speed at which the comedy came is the speed at which the terrors came. And all that they described that can happen with this psychosis, if that's the right word, the hallucinations, the images, the terror, coming at the speed of his comedy came at, maybe even faster, I can't even imagine living like that.
Well, you frame it like that. All right, so it just seems like you know, you ask the questions, why? You know, why this guy? Why, you know, who brought so much happiness? But if you put it in the terms of the same speed at which his mind is reacting comedically and that horrible stuff is coming at him, that would be a lot to handle.
Would have been a nightmare. So the book Robin goes on sale May 15th, by the way. All right. Nice story. Actor and comedian Ken Jeong's Phoenix performance involved more audience participation than he could have ever anticipated. In the middle of his act over the weekend, Jeong, who was a doctor, by the way, before becoming an entertainer, had to leave the stage to provide medical assistance to an audience member that he originally thought was heckling him. They were having a seizure.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
And I think he's a full-blown, was a practicing doctor for years.
So a audience member said he couldn't see what was going on with the lights. He was playing with them from the stage for a second, and I was like, no, we need you. The woman appeared to be having a seizure, and... He stayed with her until paramedics arrived, and then he got back up and he finished his set after they took her out of there. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Yeah.
It's amazing.
He was there to help out in case there was
How can you not applaud after that?
All right. A not-so-nice story.
Oh, wow. It's like I'm kind of getting whiplash.
Listen to this one.
This is like a parfait.
Sizemore.
Oh, I know this.
Is being sued by a woman in Utah who claims that he groped her when she was 11 years old.
Was on a movie set, right?
Yeah. The unidentified woman said the incident occurred in 2003 on the set of 2005's Born Killers. And left her with PTSD. That isn't Natural Born Killers, is it?
No.
Is he in that?
No.
No.
Natural Born
Killers
in the 90s.
Gross.
But left her with PTSD and drug and alcohol problems. When the story broke in November, Sizemore denied the allegation. So
he still does. He's fervently denying it. But, you know, he doesn't have a good track record.
No. So she's suing him. All right. And then we'll end with a fun story.
Yay!
William Shatner's underwear was stolen.
Oh, man.
He said this was at a, where was he? He was at doing an event. It was Priceline.com's 20th anniversary breakfast.
Where they take their underwear off when they go in.
He said, I was in a hotel and entertaining downstairs, and when I came back to my room, my underwear was gone. he said, somebody had been in my room and stolen my underwear. The woman then called Captain Kirk, so he called, you know, he called Shatner's hotel room and said that she'd return the skivvies if he signed memorabilia for her in exchange. So he agreed to meet her in the lobby.
Yeah.
And he said, she said, well, sign this. And she opened her shirt up and I ran. I grabbed my underwear and I ran.
That's awesome.
And well, he could have called the cops on her.
Yeah. And Shatner will be in town on May 17th, by the way. A little later on, he's going to be at the Academy of Music later on this morning for the lesson question. We'll give away some tickets to see that event.
I hope. Is there any, if phone, anything, nothing, nope. Postcard. Perhaps we can maybe instant message or Skype him.
Let's one more bit of good news, Preston. This is breaking news.
Oh, my God.
And this is for Steve Morrison.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
All right.
Steve, this one's for you.
This one's
You're
for you.
You're going to be so excited.
Okay.
At the Met Gala.
Yeah.
Someone got engaged.
Oh, I know.
It was 2 Chainz.
Yes!
Yay! All right, Steve already knows.
He got down on a bended knee.
Yep.
And proposed to Esther Roll.
No,
he proposed to
Keisha Ward.
Okay.
During the Heavenly Bodies Fashion and the Catholic Imagination Costume Institute Gala.
Did you see any of the costumes? See any of the outfits?
No.
Some insanely ridiculous stuff.
Who was the one in like the silver metallic?
That was Shailene Woody, who looked like a robot.
Woodley?
Woodley, yeah.
Woodley?
Yeah. Woodley? You look like a robot.
So 2 Chainz is now
off the market. Oh, damn it. Yeah. I lost my shot.
2 Chainz was at the Met Gala?
I know. They're really, yeah. He came with Coolio.
She's not filtering that guest list as
No. Anna Wintour says that this might be her last Met Gala.
Really?
This is the, it's too much.
Really?
Was it Busy Phillips who was upset that she didn't get the invite?
Yeah.
Two Chainz is there.
What, you let Screech it?
All right, let's get to the clips.
All right.
The middle, about a middle-class family in middle America, is concluding its series with several heartfelt episodes. And here, Neil Flynn talks about filming the show's 200th episode. Here we go.
We stopped for a while, had a champagne toast, some people said some nice words, and cut a cake shaped like the cow. That is a centerpiece of Orson. And it was all very nice. People had nice things to say. It doesn't happen very often. And I feel fortunate, very grateful.
He's been on 2 long-term series between Scrubs and The Middle. And, you know, he's had a really good career.
They have a new episode tonight, ABC, on 8:30, which will be after the Goldberg.
We got to get Charlie McDermott on.
I texted with him a week or two ago, and he'll be back in Pennsylvania in the middle of June, I think. So we'll get him in studio when he comes back.
All right, cool. Let's do the next clip. In Bull, a doctor tries to win over jurors in crucial trials. Tonight, with the help of his team, he must save a client from receiving the death sentence. Michael Weatherly talks about who his character is.
He's the kind of maverick outsider who puts together a strategy for you to win your trial. But you always have to be innocent. He doesn't represent guilty people. Although they may look very, very guilty at the time.
I don't think I want to see it.
Season finale of Bull airs tonight on CBS.
You know, he used to be married to Jessica Alba.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Lucky him, man. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you entertainment-wise this morning. We got to take a break. We're going to come back in just a little bit. A lot of things going on. We are winding down. MMR's birthday bucks is the last week for it. 8 o'clock, your next chance to win. And we have an announcement about the Rock Allegiance show. We'll get those details around 8 as well. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Thanks, Kath. Steve sent me this story, local story. I feel bad for this little girl. It's from Fox 29. A 13-year-old girl. She's in Aston. Goes to school in Aston. Brought a twisted tea to school.
Yeah.
By accident.
Yeah. Her family said it was. She had no idea that that it had alcohol in it, which I totally believe.
Yeah. The cans look.
Yeah. It looks like a kid's drink. So anyhow, this may end up, though, where this is led to is she may end up facing charges.
No.
Come on. They'll investigate, and it should be okay.
I would think so. Her name is Kayla Ryder. The 13-year-old eighth grader said that some of her classmates asked for a taste because she took it. She opens it and tastes it and tastes funny.
Yeah.
Right, sure. You know what I mean? And so her classmates asked for a taste. Oh, yeah, let me try that. So she shared it like she normally would, and Northerly Middle School administrators called her after they got wind that she brought twisted tea. And she said, is this her mom? Her mom said, I told the school I took full responsibility because I'd purchased it the night before. I put it in the bottom of the pantry. There were juice boxes there too, and I will never make that mistake again. She was suspended for 4 days.
I can
see that.
Yeah.
But they may take it to another level because, she was going to, the mom was going to challenge the punishment with the school board. And she said that they basically told him, look, take what we give you or we're going to make things more difficult for you.
A few days
later, she was called down to the local police department. The girl was questioned. Her mom refused to sign her daughter up for a program for first-time juvenile offenders distributing alcohol.
Wow. I know in school districts, though, if kids bring, like, if they bring pot to school and they get caught with it, the police are called. So it might even just be a protocol in this school that if something like this is brought to school, the police have to be notified.
Yeah. I don't know. And I can... look, I can understand, you know, the 4-day suspension. Look, there's other kids had alcohol take, you know, they were
the other parents. Yeah, I got it.
There's got to be repercussions, whether it was an accident or not. But the police.
I watched the video with the family last night. I was watching when it aired on Fox 29, and the it so looks like exactly what she says. The mother's like, it's one of these cases, and it's a brightly colored can. And the reason why I believe this is because I know for a fact. Adults have made the same mistake countless times.
My dad did. My mom came home. She goes to Mass every single morning. She came home from morning Mass, and my dad, who was at the time was a deacon, was sitting at the kitchen table writing his homily for the Sunday Mass,
drinking a twisted tea.
And my mom's like, what? I mean, so he had... my dad, who was, at this point in his 60s, who has had a few, alcoholic beverages in his time, had actually been drinking this. So it's not only just the look, but the taste itself.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't really taste very alcoholy. It tastes like iced tea. He had been drinking, and my mom comes into the kitchen. She goes, Dave, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean, what am
Get
I doing?
Ripped right to the homily.
Well, he had no idea.
Yeah.
My uncle, who does not drink, he doesn't drink alcohol. They were on the beach in Florida, and a cooler was brought to the beach, and there was drinks for the kids, and there was twisted tea. And everyone was down by the water in the ocean, and him and his two grandchildren were sitting up by the cooler. He pulled out three twisted teas, opened them up. They were all sitting on the beach drinking their what they thought was iced tea.
The kids are drinking.
The kids, they were little, and my cousin walks up and she was like, Dad, what are you doing? He was like, what? We're having iced tea. She's like, no, it's twisted tea. There's alcohol in there. And they had to take it from the two kids and him.
Could you imagine the people walking? Look at this white trash family
seriously.
Here. Even the kids are drinking it.
Yeah, but he, you know what? He had no idea. He's not a drinker, so he didn't even really know what Twisted Tea was.
I wouldn't know. We were, I forget what event we were at, and it, there was, it was an apple cider type drink.
Oh, yeah.
And you know I don't
hard
drink.
Cider.
Right.
Hard cider, yeah.
Now, this was on the level. I like, wow, oh, that tastes good.
Well,
but,
I mean.
But, and then I realized, you know, the alcohol was so hidden in the flavor.
Yeah.
That, that and my senses go up. Like, I can, like, rum cake I don't even like.
Yeah, well, there's a few drinks out there. Your hard ciders.
Yeah.
The hard lemonades, you know, you have those root beers. They none of them
and the packaging,
have an alcohol because there are people who just don't like the taste of alcohol.
But the packaging and the labeling case, mm-hmm. and a lot of times it's like this. It's meant to mimic regular root beer or regular apple cider.
Any of those ones you just listed, Casey, all of them seem incredibly and overly sweet to mm-hmm. me. And I don't know if it's the sweetness that hides the alcohol or not, but I
can tell you that for me, that Nick, that's what buries the alcohol.
Yeah.
That this cider was so impossibly sweet that that's all I could focus in on.
I like that
and
root
apparently
beer.
The alcohol level was high in this
okay,
thing.
Yeah. And I like that root beer, but it's because it tastes like root beer. You know,
right,
and I guess
right.
that's what they're going for. But it, like, to me, it's just, if I'm going to have an alcoholic beverage, it's not going to be those.
You know, when I was in grade school, there was a project where you got together as a group and we had to do live commercials. We had to pick a product and we had to do live commercials. And there was one group, I can't remember what their product was. I think it might have been chips of some sort. But their setting was like sitting around watching a football game, like, and they had beer. I mean, they brought real beer in, and they didn't get in trouble at all.
You know, to school?
Yeah, it was part of their presentation.
She's a little bit. I don't know. She appears to be younger, but
no, I'm telling you, we were in grade school. We were younger than
her.
Yeah,
No, I was in eighth grade when somebody brought our teacher a bottle. I'll never forget. It was scotch. It was called Pinch Scotch.
Pinch.
Actually, pricey scotch, and left it on his desk as a gift.
As a gift for the teacher.
And he gladly accepted it.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a different time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I used to go buy my parents cigarettes.
I know.
You know, they're like, hey, go up to Rita's and go get me a pack of Marlboro Light.
Okay, Dad. Okay.
A few people are texting in saying, nah, 13-year-old. They know. They all know. Listen, not all of them do know, gang.
Yeah.
No,
some might, but not all of them do.
My wife was suspicious, but I'm looking at this family, and I'm looking at what they're saying, and the mom's like,
pleading.
Oh,
my
God.
Yeah.
Well,
also,
yeah, Dad's a cop,
young girl's dad?
Yeah, it's Philly police officer.
Yeah, you got to look how everything was shaking out at the school. Like, were they in the closet hiding, drinking it, or were they just sitting at the lunch
table? They were in the cafeteria, yeah. It wasn't like after school behind the school.
Yeah.
It was right out of the cafeteria.
What school was it, do we know?
Northly in Sun Valley School District in Aston. It's not. Everything's not black and white. You have to take everything into context here. And it was a simple mistake.
Well, there's countless mistakes made like drinks like this or things that you don't know.
Oh, yeah. A couple of people were texting in saying that that she may not have known, but the other kids that were sipping it knew what it was and they wanted some. So
maybe.
I don't know, but that's what you got to talk about.
Yeah,
hash out with the parents and figure out what all went on and what the stories are.
Who was the first person you knew that got drunk, like as a teenager?
Well,
my
sister,
me,
probably.
Your sister?
Yeah, my brother probably.
I know. If you have older siblings, probably that's a good chance that might happen.
I remember hearing about it on the bus in middle school, and I didn't. I mean, I would have an occasional sip of wine at family dinners and stuff like that, but I didn't have an alcoholic experience until high school. But I remember like it's starting to be quote unquote cool in like ninth grade, and people would be at parties and they would know about it then.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I remember the first party I went to and. Where there was alcohol, and I was like, oh, they're going to be drinking. It was Queen Bee's house.
Oh, really?
How old were you?
We were probably, like, I would say, like, ninth or tenth grade.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, there's going to be alcohol there.
hang on.
What do I do?
But I want to go to, I want to go to people mistaking it and getting it wrong. Let me go to Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, Scott?
When I was in high school, my friend's mom would actually pack me a lunch because I drove her to school every day.
Yeah.
And when I was at my I went in and she accidentally packed
me. Hang on a second. Scott,
the same guy
Scott,
as yesterday.
Yeah, what are you doing? Because all we hear is it rubbing against your beard or something like that? The phone?
Sorry. Do you hear me better now?
Yeah, thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when she would pack me a lunch every day because I drove her to school, and the one day she packed me a Natty Light.
By accident?
She put a Natty Light in your lunchbox?
completely by accident.
Wow. What did she think it was?
I don't know. Maybe like ginger. I don't know.
Because when you
gave it back to her, I was like, "Your mom wants to get me drunk."
Dude, she loved you.
Yeah,
she had
man.
A thing for you to bring your daughter to school every day.
In fairness, you need a case in Natty Light to get drunk.
That's true. This is probably what you know. It's so watered down. It's not really going to count.
Natty Light.
So you gave it back to her. That's funny. Thanks, Scott. You know they make all kinds of hard alcohol. Or I guess soda beers, if you want to call them that, or something like that. Because I get these ginger ale Krabbies. They came in here and bought some Krabbies.
I like those.
Hard ginger.
Yeah,
it's
those
really
are good.
Good.
Yeah.
So when
and you could easily mistake the bottle's brown, but you could easily mistake the label on there for a soda.
Yeah.
You know?
There's another Jack Cider. I had it. I was at Shady Brook Farm, and they now serve beer there. Like,
really?
As you're like walking around, it was one of my fall activities, and I had a Jack's hard cider.
Your fall activities.
No, yeah,
I need some.
But it was good. Like it tasted good.
Yeah.
When I remember when Zima has vodka.
I think it's come back.
No, not
so,
vodka.
So
it's malt,
or whatever it has. Because I remember when that first came out. I believe it was my next door neighbor who his mom purchased Zima, thinking it was like a Fresca type drink.
There's a story in my family, and I don't, because I was so young, I don't remember it. But my little brother got drunk on. Vodka and lemon, or no, vodka and orange juice.
Ugh, I still can't drink
at
that.
A Christmas party because you know nobody's really paying attention, and he didn't know what he was.
What do you think it was like?
Just orange juice. He had no idea, you know what it was.
By the way, there's a bunch of texts coming in. my nephew in elementary school took a can of Bud Light out of his lunch bag, thinking that he grabbed a Pepsi.
Could you imagine you're walking through the cafeteria, there's a kid cracking open a Bud Light?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of these coming in, and a bunch of calls, so let's go to these. I'm going to go over to Nick. Hi, Nick, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys, you guys rock.
Thanks, what's up, Nick?
Hey, so I went to Catholic school for, first through fifth, and my mom always packed our lunch. Right next to the Brisk cans was Coors Light. I got sent to school with a Coors Light can.
what grade was hilarious. This? What grade was this, Nick?
It's either second or third.
Second or third grade.
Did you have a Coors Light?
Did you drink it?
What's that?
Did you drink it?
Oh, God, no. I gave it to the nun. And, of course, I had the one nun that was the strictest. She was a religious teacher, and she did not laugh. Every other teacher, nun, and her,
was
hilarious. Got my mom on speakerphone. She did not crack a smile.
Wow.
I was terrified of her.
Of course, yeah. But that the image of a second grader with a Coors Light in his lunch is hilarious.
I was a fat kid, so I wanted to see what kind of snacks I had for today.
Nick whips out the silver bullet.
A lot of this seems to be Preston. Where also, in addition to the look of the can, where it is packed in the cupboard,
right?
Yeah, and also if you're in a hurry or not,
you're
probably just grabbing this and throwing it in there. Here, okay, get off school.
Yeah.
Go. Let me see. I will go to. Let me go to Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing. So. Last year, I was dropping my daughter off to my aunt. She watched her while I went to work. And she was like, try one of those new seltzer waters in my fridge. Like, take it to work with you. I was like, okay. So I went to the fridge, grabbed one real quick, got in my car, popped it open, drove from Ridley to Westchester with it open, get to work, put it out on my desk for a solid 2 hours, drinking it until someone walked up and they're like, why don't you put that in the cup? it's spiked seltzer water.
So
you might want to put that in a cup.
Since you're clearly a raging alcoholic, why don't you put that in a cup? I like how your coworker though. Here's what I do. I put my hard booze in a cup.
I have those right now in my little mini fridge.
What are they now?
They're spiked seltzer. It's seltzer water with alcohol in it, and they're not bad.
What kind of alcohol?
It's a malt based.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife likes those.
The can looks like a regular can. Like, you would never know it was liquor or alcohol.
No, we're looking at it. And it has, so is the alcohol content pretty heavy?
You usually.
No, but at like 7 o'clock in the morning, it's
It's a decent amount at 7 a.m.
Yeah, like the Twisted Tea is 5%. So,
yeah, it's more than a light beer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, thanks.
I had the opposite experience. I was at the Kenny Chesney concert last year, and we were at a tailgate party, and I drank one of the spiked seltzers. I'm like, this is good. And so I went, I grabbed another one, and I'm sipping on it. And my friend goes, do you want one with alcohol? I had grabbed the regular seltzer. I was like, man, I don't want this.
Are you kidding? Kenny Chesney!
I was at...
totally sober.
I quit drinking for almost 2 years because of my migraine headaches. I wanted to see if alcohol was a trigger, and I just decided to stay off of booze for a while. And my buddy Will, it was his 50th birthday party, surprise birthday party. So I brought... everybody was going to be drinking, so I brought non-alcoholic beers with me, which I was drinking at the time, just to stay social.
O'Doul's? Caliber, right?
Yeah, it was Caliber. Yeah. Okay. Guinness makes it. And so, and it looks like a real beer. And so they had coolers, and I just put mine in the cooler. And I, in fact, I have my own cooler, a little soft cooler that I set aside, and that was my beer. And so I'm going through the night, and I go over, and people have been drinking my non-alcoholic beers. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, because
you're just filling your stomach.
Yeah, waste.
Nick, do you remember that Cheers where they lost their liquor license for like a day or whatever, they served nothing but non-alcoholic beer?
They went through the case.
Yeah. And Cliff Clavin acted like he was so drunk.
There, in the book, The Girl on the Train, she drinks canned gin and tonics. And I don't know if they portrayed that in the movie or not, but I don't know if canned gin, and that it takes place in London.
Is that a thing?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I don't know if you can get that in the States or not, but it actually, the way that it's written in the book, it sounds really appealing. And I like gin and tonics. I just don't know if you can get them in the States.
So what can you get on the, like, on mixed drinks wise in cans like that?
Well, they have like little margarita based ones. Yep. Remember, but they're a lot of times they're carbonated.
Yep.
Okay.
You can get champagne in a little can now, and it's like a pink can. Mm-hmm. It looks, you know, resemble something a kid might want.
They also used to, I mean, they still have, I'm sure, that like the Boone's Farms were kind of cocktail-y type of thing. Does Bartles and James still exist?
No.
No.
Bartles and James used to dominate, especially on television. They had massive ad campaign.
That was thank you for your support.
Yep.
Queen Bee's house is what she was serving.
Bartles and James.
Hang on. Let me go to Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So I'm in recovery. I don't drink alcohol or nothing like that.
Right.
I'm at my sister's house, and I tell my niece to get me a drink. I live an hour away, so I need a drink for the ride home. And I'm driving down the highway, and I crack open the can of soda, what I thought was soda, and I get it to my face, and it's Coors Light.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
Thinking it was Diet Coke.
That's the last thing you need. You're in recovery.
Diet Cokes are a silver can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
she thought the same thing. I called my sister. I said, what's your daughter trying to do? Trying to give me alcohol.
None of it made it into your mouth, did it, Scott?
No. As soon as I got to my face, I could smell it. I rolled my window down, and I didn't even care I was littering. I threw it right out the window.
Yeah, we're looking side by side. Thanks, except for height-wise, they're fairly similar looking.
Yeah, also red lettering.
Yeah.
And the whole deal.
The Coors Light can's a little bit thinner.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Let me go to, I have Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this the Kenny Knight?
I can put the voice on.
Do it.
That's right, Brian. You're on the air. What's up, man?
Hey, y'all. So I was in fourth grade with my dad. We were over one of his friend's house watching football on Sunday. And, I'm looking around. He's like, what do you want to drink? I'm like, I'll take one of those. And I crack it open, and it's a Genesee Cream Ale. I thought it was cream soda.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So it's like reaching into a bowl of grapes and eating them and realizing that they're olives.
Yeah,
that's true, man.
That's a good analogy, yeah.
Well, I had to keep my pride, so I choked it down. He's like, you want another? I'm like, No, that's okay.
I'm good. I'm going to go vomit now.
Wow. Thanks, Brian. Exactly. Appreciate it.
So my dad gave me my first beer at 12.
Your first beer, yeah.
Nice.
As a non-drinker, I'm amazed at all the various drinks like this that I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, like cream ale. Yeah.
Apparently, you can still get the Bartles and James, too. They make them, and you can get them in the grocery store.
Really?
Yep, wow. Still available.
Okay. Let me see here. It's Diana that we're going to go to next. Diana, good morning.
Guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Diana?
Well, my name's Diane.
Oh.
And Hi.
Hi.
Hi. My dad and mom used to take us over to our grandpa's house every Sunday when we were kids, and he's very Italian. And every Sunday we'd go for pasta, and we were kind of wild in the house and everything. And when we used to sit around the dinner table, we used to have Coca-Cola. That was a big deal, you know, having our Coke for dinner.
Yes.
And we used to pour red wine into our Coke glasses, and we were, like, stoned out of our minds every Sunday.
Your grandfather would do this, and how old were you, Diane?
Maybe 8, 10.
Wow.
So, unbeknownst to you, he was spiking your Cokes with wine, or were you aware of it?
Yeah, I was aware of it, but I didn't really know, you know, like, what it was or whatever. And my parents knew, too. And we just sat there nice and quiet and just stared at each other every Sunday.
Because you're all getting ripped.
Sunday fun day.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there are some families where, like, Italian families I've known growing up with, it, they would have some, you know, some vino or whatever, you know, and the kids would have a little bit as well. It's all part of the deal.
My dad would do the old, here, you know, can I have a sip of your beer, Dad?
Yeah.
Sure. Here you go, son.
Yeah, can I sleep with Mom? You know, things like that. Things that kids are inquisitive.
Yeah, at a certain point, you become too old for that, and Dad doesn't allow that anymore. But when you're younger... Because it was the same thing for me when I was like 8 or 9. Don't tell your mom. And then after a little while, I was like, no.
Well, the thing that set me in motion, you know, for not drinking or ever, you know, being drunk, I was at a neighbor's party. And I was 7 or 8. And there was a bar down there. And they started pouring full glasses of cream de menthe.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I vomited green. And I remember that image was...
Yeah, you're not supposed to drink that stuff straight.
Yeah. I did. I drank about 7 ounces of it.
You know what? The part of the here, have a sip of this, I think, is also... you'll see how bad it tastes.
Yes.
You won't want any of it because...
And it worked.
It's an acquired taste.
It worked for me, yeah.
Of beer, anyhow.
I remember drinking on the beach one time. I was probably about 15 or 16, and I wasn't really a drinker in high school. I gagged every single sip. It tasted... Now, granted, it was also warm.
Yeah.
Warm Milwaukee's best, but every single sip, I was like, all bark.
I'm gagging from the description.
The beast.
Warm cans of the beast.
Just warm. Can you get this to a boil?
That's nasty. Let's go over to Corey next. Hi, Corey. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What's up, Corey?
Hey, so a few years back, I was on a cruise, and my younger cousin, he was about 12 years old, and he was complaining about a stomach ache because we were on one of those excursions that take you to go snorkel on a reef.
Right.
And so my mom offered to go grab him a ginger ale from the bar. So he goes up, asks for a ginger ale, gets a cup, no problem, drinks it, asks for another one because he's still feeling kind of upset, gets another glass. My mom goes back up to the bar and asks for a margarita, and bartender poured her the exact same thing. So this kid was slugging margaritas. 12 years old, he got back on the ship absolutely trashed.
Oh my God!
So the bartender didn't speak English
for the rest of the day.
No, that's
bartender
funny.
Didn't speak a word of English.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And margaritas are sweet enough, and if it's not got a lot of tequila in it,
you could probably drink
it and not realize you're drinking booze.
There's not a lot of taste difference between a virgin daiquiri and a rum daiquiri, you know.
Right.
And so mixed drinks like that, they're easy to mistake.
Yeah.
God, a kid's getting ripped. I know it's wrong, but it's also hilarious.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, I'm curious as to how this is going to play out and what the whole story is behind the story of this girl in Aston, 13-year-old. She might be facing charges with the police. I don't know. But they'll investigate it like Kathy says.
Yeah,
so they'll figure it all out.
All
right. Anyhow, thanks for your calls. Appreciate it. We got to take a break. We got a couple things coming up. $1,000 in cash, first of all, for MMR's birthday bucks. That is next on the agenda, as well as revealing the lineup for Rock Allegiance. It's an interesting one. We'll come back with that in a B-File, too. Stay with us.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram present MMR's Mother's Day 2018.
Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, this Saturday. $15 per vehicle gets you in. And a go at one of the custom dirt obstacle courses. Hundreds of Jeeps, Jeep parts to win, MMRBQ tickets, food trucks, and did we mention mud?
Join us for a great day. We'll get dirty with our Jeeps. We'll have prizes and cool vendors on site, too, like DHY Motorsports, ExtremeTerrain.com, and 13 Cords.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, thank you very much, Kat. Somebody says, can we get a mashup of Preston's cough laugh? I can't help it, man. It's going to be the rest of the week before I'm done with this easily.
And the most difficult thing is when you're that congested, having the laugh, it just exacerbates the issue.
That's exactly it. All right, it is, it's 8 o'clock. We got to do this.
MMR's birthday box. Birthday box.
All right, WMMR Philadelphia and ANT Chevy in Sellersville would love to give you $1,000. You're going to have to work, but not real hard for it. It's very simple. You just text a word to the number I'm going to give you in just a second. You have until 15 minutes past the hour to do it. The word for this hour is candy. C-A-N-D-Y. Candy. Text that word to our special company-wide short code number. It is 407-72. So the word candy to 407-72. 15 minutes past the hour is when we stop the calls or stop the texts. And we grab one randomly and give away $1,000.
Yeah.
So good luck to you. You got five chances today, but don't miss this opportunity because we are down to the wire on it. This is the last week of MMR's birthday box. All right, you guys want a concert announcement?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen up to this.
No big secret what this is because we did a pre-announcement announcement yesterday.
Yes, and then we did a post-recap of the pre-announcement.
So MMR is excited to bring you the details of Rock Allegiance 2018. Saturday, October 6th at BB&T Pavilion and Wiggins Waterfront Park. So that's what it says right here. Yeah. BB&T Pavilion and Wiggins Waterfront Park. So it's a full area, three full stages of rock. Okay, now I'm going to go through these bands. And, you know, there's a line in Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Where the guy says, this business is liable to get out of control and we'll be lucky if we live through it.
Yes.
This is a this is an insane lineup. Okay.
And I'm very intrigued.
All right. At Rock Allegiance, Avenged Sevenfold. All right. Avenged Sevenfold. Not done. How about this? Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
Limp Bizkit is on for it. Then we have Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
Coming up after that. I know, Casey, I'm rifling through all these. And we're not going to be able to get to all the music. So,
well, I got you, buddy.
Let me just hit all these. So, Avenged Sevenfold, Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, Bullet for My Valentine.
Yes.
Of Mice and Men.
Whoa!
Skillet. And then listen to this.
All right.
Gwar.
Gwar. We were just talking about Gwar.
Insane Clown Posse.
Insane Clown Posse.
The Juggalos are going to be invading.
This is crazy.
Fozzie is going to be on board.
Awesome.
And Beartooth.
Beartooth?
Beartooth.
Beartooth. I mean, I am a huge Beartooth fan.
Now, and many others. There's going to be a lot of bands that are on this the lineup. I mean,
there's a ton of them. But Preston, if you just sheer off Gwar and Insane Clown Posse. Yeah. Oh my God!
I know it's gonna be out of hand. Like I said, so Avenged Sevenfold, Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, Bullet for My Valentine, of Mice and Men, Skillet, Gwar, Insane Clown Posse, Fozzie, Beartooth, and more coming soon. So this is going to be, I would say, a spectacle.
So if those two bands alone are in a lot of people's, I should probably see them at some point list. And I've seen Gwar. It's pretty amazing.
I've never seen him, and this may be one that I have to check out because Gwar is just a ridiculous, over-the-top stage show. All right, so here's the deal on Rock Allegiance Saturday, October 6th. The pre-sale, there's a special MMR pre-sale, and it starts tomorrow at noon.
All right, so your first opportunity to get those tickets tomorrow at noon. General on sale will be this Friday at noon, and you can get the details at WMMR.com. So you'll want to go and grab all that information and get yourself set for it. But that's a psychotic lineup.
You're exactly right. A psychotic lineup.
One day, three full stages of rock. Avenged Sevenfold, Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach, Bullet for My Valentine, Of Mice and Men, Skillet, Gwar, Insane Clown Posse, Fozzy, Beartooth, and many, many more. So that is Rock Allegiance Tour. And once again, on sale Wednesday noon. That's the MMR pre-sale. And you can go to our website for the details. And the general on sale Friday at 12 noon.
I might be inclined to put Gwar and Insane Clown Posse on the same stage.
Oh, my God.
That'd be my my take on it.
I keep going to the word insane. I hate doing it because it's in the name of the band, Insane Clown Posse. But that's just a crazy lineup. So get yourself set for that, my friends. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
In fact, we don't even need to do it. That lineup was
the
Bizarre
File. That was completely insane.
But I do have some other stories to get to. It's brought to you today by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. Okay, Kathy.
Yeah?
Oh, boy.
The story's for you. Okay. Florida woman apparently woke up with a palmetto bug in her ear. A palmetto bug is essentially a flying cockroach. Oh.
I hate those effing things.
Oh, my God.
Katie Holly's gruesome experience happened in the early morning hours of April 14th. Soon after, her sister-in-law, who works as an editor for Self Magazine, asked her to pen an essay about it. And she did, in frightening, gut-churning detail that's made thousands of people across the nation wonder if they should sleep with earplugs. She said, I need therapy for a lot of reasons, but this experience blows all of those other reasons out of the water. Holly has lived in Florida since 1995, which means she's seen her fair share of palmetto bugs, which are brown, ubiquitous, and can grow to an inch and a half long or more.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't matter how clean your home is, Kathy. Oh. It's almost a given that every building has one or more, and they come out at night.
I effing hate them. What I hate about them, too, amongst the other things like the wings, is that they have these long antennae.
Wait, what's the bug called?
Palmetto
bug. Flying cockroach.
She said, when I woke up with this weird feeling, I didn't know what it was. But 30 seconds later, stumbling to the bathroom, I knew there was something in my ear. Holly's next several hours were the stuff of horror movies.
Are you going to the bathroom?
She gingerly put a cotton swab in her ear and fished out two legs. Her husband located the thickest part of the roach that was visible and tried to extract it to no avail. The bug wriggled in her ear on the trip to the hospital. Once there, a doctor poured lidocaine in her ear and the insect died. A doctor removed three chunks, but that wasn't all. Nine days later, Holly still had lingering discomfort and hearing loss, so she went to her family doctor. She said, my physician proceeded to remove the leg and flush my ear again, only to examine it and see even more remnants. She ended up pulling out six more pieces of the roach's carcass God. 9 days after the incident took place.
That's how big this freaking thing was in her ear.
But here's the bad news. She said, the doctor said, this may be upsetting to many people, but it's a pretty common thing. At Tampa General Hospital.
F.U. Florida.
They get a dozen or so cases a year. The doctor said there are probably not a lot of preventative things you can do. In Florida, it's really hard because we all have bugs in our house no matter how many times you spray. In fact, Holly said she and her husband had hired an exterminator about a week before the incident.
Well, it didn't work.
Oh, my God.
But she got it out.
Kathy, wouldn't you just kill yourself?
Pretty much. Yeah, I think I would
sit in the garage with the car running.
I think I would have a heart attack.
Yeah.
I would contemplate sleeping with plugs in my ears.
Earplugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, but I have to hear the alarm clock go off.
I currently sleep with a butt plug, so yeah, just in case.
There's a lot of holes.
There's a lot of holes to plug.
Yep. A former stripper received the tip of a lifetime when she received a six-figure inheritance from a former client and friend whom she'd met only months before his death. Veronica Beckham met the former HBO executive Mickey Liu back in July 2014 at Atlantic City Scores Strip Club.
Ah, and they struck up a friendship.
They soon became friends, according to Beckham.
Who
described the relationship they had as an everlasting friendship in court documents. But Liu, who suffered from diabetes and heart disease related to being obese, died less than a year later at the age of 50.
Despite knowing each other for such a brief time, Lou obviously felt the same way about their relationship as he named her, Beckham, the beneficiary of his retirement accounts and a life insurance policy worth a combined $223,000.
And I bet you his family was just thrilled.
Uh-huh. Well, they weren't too happy with his leaving his inheritance to a former exotic dancer. Mickey's sister May challenged the inheritance in court, suggesting that Beckham, as a professional exotic dancer, was adept at applying and using coercion and manipulation upon May.
Where do they get that from?
May also claimed that Beckham preyed upon Mickey Lou's vulnerability by exerting influence over him in the form of moral coercion.
Touched his junk is what that translates to.
But despite May's attempts to block Beckham from inheriting her brother's inheritance, the courts ruled that Beckham was entitled to the money and only former girlfriends of Mickey could sue for the funds.
Did she have prior knowledge to being a beneficiary of his...
I don't know.
Estate?
According to Beckham, however, her and Mickey's everlasting friendship was strictly platonic. No sexual relationship ever existed between the pair. As for her plans with the money, Beckham has started a new career as a fashion designer and stylist to the stars, and has denied claims that she's a gold digger, calling the lurid accusations untrue. Hey, man, rock on.
You earned it.
And the guy, that's what he wanted his money.
That's where he,
wanted his money to go.
And I'm sure the family has come to terms with that.
Yeah, exactly. An Ohio man who flew to Palm Beach County in order to smoke a joint with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago ended up under arrest instead. 27-year-old Tyler John Marone of Columbus, Ohio, arrived at the Palm Beach International Airport April 18th, the same day that the president was hosting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo.
And he wouldn't take a few minutes to go smoke a dube with this guy?
Abe in Palm Beach. Marone said that he found a credit card that he thought was a gift from God. So he said, I bought myself a plane ticket to go to Florida to see the president.
Wait, so when you find a credit card, it's pretty much up to you to spend as much as you want?
That's what he thought
God wanted him to do.
Yeah. So Marone intended to drive to Mar-a-Lago, walk in and talk to Mr. Trump about the, quote, static and frequency feedback that I constantly hear emanating from my basement and from fans and in my head.
God wants us to do it.
He wanted to figure out what they were saying. So Marone also admitted that he had been kicked out of the Supreme Court building in Ohio, as well as several courthouses. It was decided that
he wanted to do hot yoga with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It was decided that Marone met criteria for the Baker Act, which allows for an individual to be involuntarily committed.
He probably thought it means to get baked.
An investigator said while checking Marone's bag, a white substance was discovered that later tested positive for methamphetamine.
I don't know. He might have some mental problems.
Well, maybe. All right. And there you go. That's what I have for you. And the bizarre file for now. All right. Let's take a break. You know what? We have that movie screening coming up, Case, with it's Deadpool 2. We got it, man.
Thursday.
It's this Thursday. It's at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's at the Ritz East, and you will need to be there by 4 o'clock. We'll take 5 callers, and we will put you on that list right now. 215-263-WMMR. Deadpool 2. It doesn't open until Friday, May 18th, and we've got it this Thursday. So you want to go? You need to call. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Sebastian Latou, retiring from professional soccer. He's going to be in our studio. We'll talk to him about that. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Thanks, Kath. Real quick, I'd like to give a little plug, a charity event coming up, as we call them, a butt plug. And I got this email from Tim Jones, who's the executive director of a group called the Firefly Foundation. Or no, I'm sorry, the Firely Foundation. And they help the medically fragile out. And this is out in Harleysville. That's where they're located, out in my area. They have a summer camp for kids that they do every year. And it's 4 days of safe, medically supervised fun that's provided at no cost to families of these children.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Really, really difficult medical situations. So they have their 11th annual golf outing for Firely's kids, and it is this Friday. So this is like a last-minute thing they wanted me to hit. They've got a decent amount, but they want to try and sell it out if they can. So this Friday at Letterock Golf Club, which I play all the time, just near Harleysville. So if you'd like to play golf, Friday is 76 and sunny.
Is this the golf course right across the street from you,
basically? It's going to be perfect. Yeah, it's right there. So Firely Foundation, Firely Foundation.org.
Awesome.
If you would like to get signed up for that. So I wanted to mention that. That's Tim Jones, who is the executive director. So, Nick, I will pass this on to you if you wouldn't mind posting that, if people would like to get on board. And then real quick, a shout out. Hey, can get a wedding shout out to my beautiful bride, Sam M., from Wilmington, Delaware. We get married on the 12th, so anytime between now and our first anniversary would be great. We're huge podcast listeners, normally listening on all our car rides when we when we're making dinner together.
Because it would be difficult, right, with all the pots and pans getting in the way of the steering wheel.
I would think
Hey, watch that deep fryer.
You rock, and it says, on a Casey, long live Delco, Fallcroft pride here.
Maybe it means long live Casey.
On a Casey.
On a Casey.
Long live Delco.
What detectives say.
Yeah.
Fallcroft pride here. Thank you. And that's from John F. Fry. So here you go. And congratulations to you too. All right. And congratulations are in order for our next guest because he's, it's a great thing.
It is a great thing.
When you're able to hang it up and move on to another chapter in your life.
We did so 10 years ago. And it's the greatest decision we ever made.
Look what happened.
And we just said for the next couple of decades, we'll phone it in, but that'll be it.
But we love this guy, and he's become a friend of the show. And it's safe to say that he's the Union's first superstar, right?
Yeah, and the best offensive player in franchise history. They put together a video on their Instagram page yesterday, which was really impressive and highlighted all of the moments, many of the moments in his career.
Yeah, he's announced his retirement from Major League Soccer. I believe it happens today. Please welcome our friend Sebastian Latour to the show this morning. Sebastian, it's good to see you, man.
Good to see you too, guys. Always happy to be here. And it's always nice.
Wow. So how does it feel hanging it up? You're not going to be playing professional soccer anymore.
It's a bit weird, but sometimes you have to move on. I know I can play my entire life soccer. I still will play for fun, but not as a professional.
Yeah. You know what? For fun, soccer is a sport that you can play for a good stretch. They have, age leagues, I guess, for men and women.
I guess, yes. But, I can play with kids. I can play with older people.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Could you imagine showing up to a pickup game on a Sunday morning and Sebastian Latour? Come on. He's on my team.
Yeah.
Listen, but it'd be cool.
Eric Lindros and those guys, those guys still play
soccer.
They don't play soccer.
I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
they just play these men's leagues.
Yeah. And they love it.
And they love it.
But that's the love of the sport is what got you into it in the beginning.
Yeah,
so there's no reason it should be out of your life.
A friend of mine plays in a pickup basketball league at Sacred Heart and A.J. Feely shows up, and it's like, oh, okay, well, here's a guy who was a professional quarterback in the NFL. You know what I mean? So professional athlete level.
Doesn't mean you excel at that game, though, right?
Well, I'm better than I will.
All right.
Wow.
It's all good.
Yeah. So is today the ceremony, the official
It's not
retirement?
A ceremony. It's just like a press conference with a team because I will still be involved, with the union. It's
of course.
What I wanted to do. It's the team I have in my heart, and, I always, love to help, so they are doing, something very nice for me today to just sign a one-day contract so I can retire as a union player. So
I love that idea.
And in the same time, I will just, do a little signature on the last contract of my life. Move on. And
how much are they going to pay you for one day?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It'd be just a free contract. But no, I'm just very happy to do it.
Do you know what you should do once you sign for the one day, then quit, storm out. The hell is this? No, but so obviously with the organization, which you love dearly, any big plans? Do you know in what capacity will you be,
I think, my position will be more, I would say, as a type of ambassador, for the team.
It's perfect.
Do different things, for charity, for sponsor, for, everything I can help with and any ideas they have, for me to kind of help. And otherwise, I'm just, going to come to some games, try, to see all of my old teammates who still play.
Yeah.
All the people and all my friends and fans who I know now, and I will be able to enjoy the game I never did before. So
if you want us to be encouraged, look at people like Bernie Parent wandering around. These guys are just loving life and serving as obviously an ambassador for the Flyers, and they're just life is golden. They're having an awesome time because you'll be around what you love. And you can see, you can help people enjoy it more, which is great.
Definitely, yeah. I would love to do that.
Yeah. I, to be honest with you, when they announced that the Philadelphia Union was coming here to be a professional soccer team in this city, I wasn't sure how it was going to go. I wasn't sure if it was going to take. And, it has taken off. And what I really love about
the organization is the outreach. You know, my kids play soccer, and you will see the union out there. They have these cool little interactive things that they'll show up to practices, and I'm sure that that's happening not just in the Marple Newtown soccer leagues, that is happening all over the Delaware Valley. And I think that's really, really great, because there's thousands of kids playing right
now. It seems like something that they would probably have you do, something linear to that, right?
Yes, probably. You know, I'm going to see, but yeah, I would love, you know, I'm always happy to be around kids and, you know, try to share my passion for the game. And like you say, there's so many kids play this sport in America. It's always, you know, great to see them playing the game.
Right, right.
Did you play anything else growing up, or was it soccer for you?
It was soccer. My mom put me when I was very young in a dance class, and it was not making
not,
it.
Not good, huh?
I cannot touch my toes, so it was very bad.
Was it jazz tap, or what was
no,
it?
No, it was classic, but yes, I was the only boy in the class, and I told my mom as soon as I turned 8, and I was able to go in a team in France to put me in a soccer team.
Well, right. Here in the States, obviously, you have football, not football. Football, yeah. And basketball, and those are basketball and baseball are the large sports, and hockey obviously has a place here too. Besides football, soccer in France, what are the, I mean, is cricket a big sport, or what are some of the big?
No, I would say the biggest. Or a team sport, it's basketball and handball. But you don't have handball in America?
No, yeah. I mean, playing handball.
You can find it, but it's not as popular.
And maybe volleyball would be like the other one. And rugby, is more, I would say, like a South France sport, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I'm looking to play a little handball. Your hands, my ball.
So, but yeah, football, I would say it's 85% of the people who play it, you know.
Okay.
Handball's a great, it's funny that it has that level. Were you a fan of handball? Because growing up, that was a big game.
I played racketball.
Racketball was great, too.
So the racketball and handball courts were in the same area, and I would see people playing handball. You'd wear the glove, and you'd have to hit the ball with your hand. I never really got into
that. Racketball's better, I think. But it was like the Jets and the Sharks. You know, they're the racquetballers and the handballers.
So did you play handball or?
Just at school, you know, you have to, you know, when you are in a recess and, you know, you have to do like a different sport. So I did a handball, but.
Did you guys have dodgeball in France?
Yes, we do have dodgeball.
Really?
So, yes.
Okay.
It's funny. I have friends that are from Ireland and England, Manchester, England. And, you know, they live here now and their son was playing baseball. And, you know, they showed up to the games and the mother was like, I don't really know what's going on here, you know, because
same thing with cricket, right? For us.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
But you know, they wanted to get their kids involved, but he is also a soccer player as well. And, you know, it's just weird, you know, I guess maybe because his parents are European, he's got a better feel for the game than most kids his age.
Mm-hmm.
And he flops like the best of them.
which means what?
Which means you take a dive, you know, you get like a little hit from the side and then you fall, you wait for a flag or a whistle.
The referee to whistle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh, man, there are compilations of soccer players taking a fall, and some of them are hilarious.
My favorite shots are in the European games where the guys wear no support and their junk comes flying out during a game and they get kicked. It's always a good laugh.
It's hard to see that. I feel bad for this guy. What happened to him?
By the way, I got this text. It says, shout out to Seba's gorgeous wife, Kendall. We went to high school together in the sprawling metropolis of Oxford, PA.
Ah.
And Kendall is gorgeous, and she is here in our studio this morning. What is the future of you two? Where's home for you guys?
Home is Northern New Berlin right now, and it's going to be, I think, for a long time.
Okay, so you're staying here?
Staying
love
here.
It.
All right.
That's great. Enough,
Hey, what's the best French restaurant in Philly?
I have to say, you know, because he's my friend. He's not in Philly, but I like La Belle Époque in Media.
Belle Époque in Media, okay.
I'm a very good friend with the owner, and he did a very good job.
Wait, what's the name? State Street. Is that on State?
But otherwise, you know, there's Park. I like to go to Park.
Oh, Park's great. House, that's on Rittenhouse Grill, yeah. But they have good oysters and mussels.
Yeah, otherwise, and I like by our neighborhood, is named Heritage.
Okay.
It's across North Bowl. I don't know if you have been there, but it's very good food too.
Yeah, I'd listen to you on that. take your suggestion. So in addition to obviously working as an ambassador for the team, are you going to do any coaching yourself or step into that?
Yeah, so I have a few things going on. It's kind of hard to decide when you stop doing what I love, you know, since I'm 10-year-old. It's really what I wanted to do. It was my dream. So I'm kind of long to see what exactly I would love to do. I would love to stay in soccer, and I'm created, you know, my own soccer private coaching.
Ah.
And, it's going to be named Le Tou Soccer Development. So I'm coming from, you know, when I was a kid, I had my private coach to help me to raise, you know, different level. And they really helped me, not just, you know, with my game, but mentally too. And, you know, to kind of be better, because when you are good, you know, it's hard to kind of pass when you have always like 15, 20 players with the same. It's a lot of mental work too. So I would love to bring that and help, you know, anybody who wants to make it, not just in soccer, but, you know, in different things, in their dreams they want to do in their life.
To up your game and have a little bit more more specific coaching that, you know, so you can actually focus in on improving individual games.
Yeah, you know,
That's good.
I would say help them just in a technical part and make sure that, you know, they know exactly how to do stuff the way, you know, it should be proper to do.
That's great. All
right, so you're launching that website today?
Yeah, today or tomorrow it'll be for sure on. And in the same time, after, like, I'm working with my wife, you know, since kind of like I stopped to play in DC last year with a home staging company. So I'm helping a little bit, but she's the boss. I'm just doing what she has to do.
She's the boss. You're taking over from her.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So I do that. And I'm going to be, but now with the union, probably another position. And, you know, I'm going to start to work for a pharmaceutical company named Boiron.
Okay.
And they do a brand of Arnica, which is a French pharmaceutical company with Benes Newton Square.
What was the name of it again?
We say Boiron, B-O-I-R-O-N, and Arnica is a type of medicine they sell for muscle
Arnica.
pain relief.
Okay.
And I'm going to be their spokesperson for... Exactly.
We have some right here. Yeah, Arnica. Yes.
Oh, beautiful. Seriously? That's funny.
So it's a product I used to use a lot when I was in France. And it's in America, but it's not very well known. And they try to, you know, be more involved, you know, in a...
What is it used for?
It's for pain relief.
Pain relief.
I'm allergic to anti-inflammatories, but Dr. Mike said I can use this.
Is that
right? Yeah, for like,
so
you
it's
know,
it's a it's number topical. One homeopathic brand.
Oh, I've been using
friends,
it all wrong. I've been brushing my teeth with it.
So many products, and this is one of the best ones that you can have for pain relief. So
look at that. Can I see that?
Yeah.
We're
getting you points with the company already.
Yeah,
it's free.
Yeah.
Gave you about $10,000 worth of free advertising right there.
So and very solid relief.
So it's a product. It's all natural, so you can apply it as much as you want on you. And it's not like you have a limit. It's just when you feel, you know,
go crazy,
and,
right?
Exactly. You just like, and it's like, no, it doesn't stick. It doesn't smell. It's very, very good.
All right. Can I backtrack on something here? Handball?
Yeah.
It's not the handball we're thinking about.
Okay. Oh, really?
People are texting in. What we're thinking about is wall ball with handball. So
your hands, my ball.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's
right,
that.
So
wall
ball?
Yeah, it's like tennis with hands, though, right?
Well, hang on a second. Yeah, so the handball that we... is
against
like,
the wall.
It's like racquetball.
Okay.
But it's I think they call that's the wall ball version of handball. The handball you're talking about is a team sport, right?
Yes, it's a team sport. Oh. Like France used to be world champion for a long, long time. I think they just got beat in the last World Cup, but...
Is it over a net?
I would say the best country are Sweden, Norway, France...
is it over a net?
Germany. Yeah, it's like a very small goal.
Oh, then I had
goal.
No...
It's, okay. It's like on the size of a basketball court, you know?
Oh, and
you
have this a goal is completely different. So our version of handball is basically against a wall.
And the ball's about this big.
Like a small ball,
and you hit it like that.
Okay. So. No, we don't play that very much. Maybe at school. Maybe when I was,
you don't have to lie. It's a pussy game compared to what you do.
You ever seen the Tom Hanks movie Big? He plays it in that. So like he smacks it against the wall.
Yes,
it's kind of like racquetball, except you don't have a racket. You just
okay. Okay. So this is much different, Preston. This is like a... it's almost like
like basketball.
Yeah.
Only not dribbling. That actually looks like a lot of fun.
I would give that a shot.
Are you allowed to just run with the ball?
So you're allowed to run with the ball. You have to bounce it a little bit. And you see like the blue zone in a, you can't step on that. It's just a goalkeeper zone.
Okay.
Nobody can step in this zone.
So you can't get that close up. Yes. I gotcha.
Huh.
Okay.
And so this is a very popular sport?
It's very popular in France, yeah. The French... team is the best. It's one of the best countries. They just got beat, but it's very, very famous in Europe.
Interesting. Mm.
You ever play a pétanque?
Oui, yes.
Oui?
Oui. It's a very, very famous game. Summertime, which
pétanque,
is right
what is
now.
That?
It's like bocce, kind
of,
right?
Bocce,
like
but the ball, it's made of iron instead of wood, I think, in bocce.
Yeah. So old Italian guys would like this thing's too freaking heavy.
And you play as a team, and it's kind of bocce, but it's a bit more technical, I would say, than bocce.
Yeah, so there are two ways, really, to play it. You can sort of play it casually, and like an old Italian guy would, or you can play it really competitively, and people do get into it. And the way that I played it was... was a casually with wine, and then by the end,
let that go.
Well, great.
At the end, his shorts were off, and he was in an alley.
But if you go to the south of France in a park, you will always see a group of old men play pétanque.
It's
like the famous game,
a very relaxing game.
Yes.
Right.
By the way, it's Sebastian Letou, if you're just joining in, who's retiring. And he's doing it as a member of the Philadelphia Union today.
Are you friends or friendly with Timotei Luau Cabro?
No, I don't know him very well. Like I saw, he got signed by the Sixers, and I didn't really have a chance.
I wasn't sure if that was like, hey, wait, I'm from where you're from, so we should automatically be friends. Because we had asked about Giroux, because he's a French-speaking Canadian.
I meet more, Claude Giroux than I met Timothy or Joel Embiid, who, is from Cameroon but speaks French too.
By law, you're all supposed to stay in touch, are you not, with every person who speaks French?
Seriously.
It would be hard, but I would love to meet them for sure.
Yeah, the post-game press conference last night, somebody asked Joel Embiid a question in French, and it completely threw him off. He didn't expect the question coming out, so he didn't even know how to answer. It was just sort of a curveball.
It's very hard, especially when you have your brain. Speaking English to switch right away, especially when you are not,
But what impresses me is you've completely lost your accent, which is...
I really appreciate it. Yesterday, as soon as I knew I was coming here, I really worked hard in front of the mirror. And, I'm happy I did a good job.
You know what? It's one you don't want to lose because it has such a it's melodic sound to it.
So continental. Yeah, yeah. And Kendall, does he ever say anything that you don't understand? This is your husband.
All the time.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I was bummed, I think, with a lot of people here in the Philadelphia area that when you were traded and you left the city. But I'm really, really glad that you are coming back, retiring as a member of the union, and that you're staying here. I think that's great.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I came here, last year for the last game of Brian Carroll, who was the captain of the team for a long time. And just coming back to the stadium, I just, have so much feeling coming back to me. And I really feel my heart was here. It's like you said, a team I never really want to leave. I got traded. But, it's happened in sports. And coming back here, I just, just a team I want to play for, I want to be with, and I will still support,
It's going to be great. Life. You'll get more time to spend with the Sons of Ben.
I know, most of them.
Those guys are great
guys. Yeah. So I love them. So, no, definitely, I will come say hi a few times.
We need to do a contest with Sebastian with that accent. We need to do some movie lines or song
lines.
Do
we have something over there?
I could probably dig something up if you guys chat for another minute.
I have rock and roll trivia over here.
Well, no, I have a question for you, Sebastian, about soccer in general. And Casey was talking a little bit off air about it. But, my son's 11 and he plays in Lower Merion. And there are so many kids and there's so much competition that there are four levels of play. There's an A team, a B team, a C team, and a D team. And I guess my question is, what's the best way to get a kid to advance to go from the D team to the A team or whatever? Because there's so much competition. There are so many kids that are playing that it seems difficult to find a way to get better.
Yeah, I mean, I come from kind of this type. When I was in France, I was this age. I was playing in a C team in my club. I was not the best, but my dream since I'm young is to be a professional soccer player. Like, I was lucky that my parents didn't really told me, no, you can't do that, it's impossible. So they always let me be and really follow my dreams. And after that, they kind of try to help me, having my personal coach, with me and, become a better soccer player. And you see the progression, because when you are young, sometimes you're not the strongest or the fastest. So if you really still work hard and you believe in your dream, everything is possible. It's just yourself or people,
but
you can tell you, no, it's not possible.
There are things for example, to make it to the A team, you have to get an endorsement from Mr. T, correct? Because that's also part of the deal.
Yes, I guess so.
You have to get a letter. It's the only way. Indicated.
We're still playing for patches on the jersey.
Are you?
Yeah, that's what we do.
No, you still play. You play for patches for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. That's we just started a couple of years ago, and that was the big thing.
Yeah,
couldn't wait to get the patches.
Jace is at the level now where the kids still follow the ball around a giant, And so they haven't quite learned positioning yet.
How to play. Yeah. They just know
a mass of kids.
Swarm following the ball.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
If you want to be smart, if you just kind of hang outside of that pack and wait for the ball to kind of come out, then you could score tons of goals that way.
You know what they did this year, and I didn't quite understand it, but they put two people in goal. Like, both of them had to stay down there.
Is
I don't
it?
Know if
That's
that was
weird.
To teach them to play, or I'm not really sure.
To give them someone to talk to?
Yeah, or maybe that, yeah.
The ball never makes it down
they're
there?
They were bored.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea.
All right, I have a couple things we could do
all
real
right,
quick with
what
Sebastian.
Do you have?
All right, so first of all, let's try a bilingual theater.
Bilingual theater.
And this is just for fun. This is not to give something
right,
away.
Right, right, right.
Let's see if he can identify this movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you a big movie fan at all?
I am a big movie fan.
All right.
And sometimes it's hard because I saw a lot of French movie American movie, but in France.
This might help you, though.
And this might help
you. Okay.
Right, see if you know this movie.
Chef, oui, chef!
Engagé Guignol, pourquoi tu es dans ma sérénité?
Chef, pour tuer, chef!
Donc tu es un tueur!
Chef, oui, chef!
Fais-moi voir ta gueule de guerrier!
Chef!
T'as une gueule de guerrier? Ah! Ça, c'est une gueule de guerrier. Là, fais-moi voir ta gueule de guerrier.
Ah!
Mon cul, autant dire que tu m'as pas convaincu. Fais-moi voir ta vraie gueule de guerrier.
Ah!
Tu me fais pas peur. Travaille-moi ça.
Chef, oui, chef.
All right. Do you know
what
movie
it
that is?
It's a very famous movie, I think. But the name, I would say, is it La Grande Vadrouille?
What I don't know? Even know what you just said.
In English, por favor. Yeah.
In English, I don't know what the title is.
Oh, so he knows
Nick,
the movie.
Can you interpret?
No, because I don't think that the English translation would be what the French movie is.
Right. So what do you
but
think the title
saying?
Is?
What is he saying in French?
Like, it's like the biggest vadrouille. It's like a word we say for, it's an old word, kind of meaning... kind of like the last crusade, pretty much. You know, it's
the last crusade.
Yes, it's kind of like,
so
it's like the last trip because they all go fighting.
See, Preston, he might be right.
It's a military movie.
Movie, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he got it.
Wait,
hold on a second. We're going to check it out. The Last Crusade, what was it released as in France?
I mean... It's not a right translation, crusade.
No, it's not a direct translation.
No,
yeah,
Vadrouille,
no.
I don't really know the translation for this word.
Let's see.
What the French title would be? What would you call it again?
La Grande Vadrouille.
So the Louis is what he said.
But maybe I'm wrong in the movie because there's a lot of movie like this, and it's one of the best comedy.
Well, it's not a comedy. This one. This is actually. This is very serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you got that wrong. Yeah, sorry,
okay.
Dude.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, wrong.
Sorry.
It's called Full Metal Jacket.
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I saw Full Metal Jacket, but the American one.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
Well, this is what we've done is we've taken American movies and we've taken I should have been.
Okay. That's
sorry.
All.
Yeah, man. I thought it was a French actor talking.
No, so, you're
nope.
right.
Nope, this is
we screwed up the description.
Full Metal Jacket. Okay, thank you. No, I got the game. Okay.
Do you don't have any other ones in French, do we?
No. Do you speak Spanish?
I do.
Yeah, he does.
All right,
yeah.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, that
here
one.
Here we go. How about this one?
Es lo único que tengo que decir sobre esto.
Has estado encojonado. Lo has dicho todo. Dime, ¿cómo te llamas?
Me llamo Forrest. Forrest Gump.
Forrest. Very humble. Very humble.
I wonder what that is.
Yes.
So me llamo Forrest. Forrest Gump.
So what do you think that movie is?
I think it was a gimme, so I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
All right, then we're going to switch gears.
All right.
Let's get some callers on the line. 215-263-WMMR. And I'm going to give, we're going to do some song lyrics.
Okay.
And I'll have Sebastian read the lyrics in English,
mm-hmm.
but with your accent, we'll see if someone can pick up what the song is.
What
it's pretty simple
down.
To do.
Yeah, all right.
And then we have a couple different things we give away. We'll just do like three or four of these. And that's
all right.
It.
Yep. We got passes for Deadpool. We got passes for our sorority party. We actually have gold dip roses from Steven Singer Jewelers.
Oh, my God.
Cases of Yards.
Yeah. All right, so we'll get that on board. Hey, listen, with your website popping up in the next few days, I assume it'll be, you know, clinics and things like that for soccer players?
Yes, I mean, I'm going to focus more on private coaching, so I will do one-on-one.
Okay.
I can
one-on-one.
Do small groups, or I can go to your team, like the team of people, and
yeah.
coach the entire team for, you know.
Any age range, or?
No age range, but I would say my advice would be more 8 to... How much, you know,
okay.
My age, your age, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm happy to help anybody.
But more on the private, you know, more smaller group.
Smaller
so you can really focus.
All teams, I'm happy to go to teams and follow the team like once a month.
Okay.
So once, you know, who wants to have me come, I'm just happy to come and help in any way I can.
That's great.
We were talking off air. You said something surprising about soccer. You said that you don't
hate it.
No. They said you don't necessarily have to be, really fast or to be an effective soccer player. There are other things that are involved about as far as, you know, knowing where the play is going to happen and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of in every sport, you know, if you know how to use your brain a little bit to see the game, especially it's a collective sport, it's not just you against everybody, you have all teammates and the different positions.
So. See, that's the trip up for me, is that I'm a moron. So I have a, kid in the middle running it with the ball.
You got one strike against you, so.
If you work on your technique and, you know, in your ability to watch to see the game, it's a big help to help your team.
But work is the operative word there.
Yes.
Definitely have to
put
the
time in, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to hand you some lyrics right here, and we'll just have you read the first couple of lines for our caller. So let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
How are you?
Good, Brian. So we have Sebastian Latou, and we're basically doing, a karaoke. We're trying to see if you can identify the song.
Frenchioki.
Lyrics that he's going to read to you. You ready?
Okay.
All right, Brian, here we go.
All right. That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an aeroplane, and Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Eyes of a hurricane. Listen to yourself, Cheryl. World serve its own needs. Don't misserve your own needs. Fill it up a knock. Speed, grunt, no, strength. The ladder start to clatter with the fear of hate.
All right, Brian. You know what song that is?
I think it's R.E.M., End of the World, as we know it.
That's it.
Yeah! That's easy. You must be French.
All right, Case, what are we giving him?
All right, we got a 24-carat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Steven's brand-new Sweet Love 24-carat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that will remind you your sweet love, just how much they mean to you. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
All right. We'll set them up, and I will hand Sebastian another lyric.
Hang on. Let me just...
That song
I know,
right
I know, but you kind of... Just in case there's a curse word in here.
Okay, there's...
Just in case he makes it there.
About 7 F-bombs.
Okay. Hopefully we won't get to that. All right, so here you go, Sebastian. Here's the next one. All right, let's get our next caller on the line. I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Steve, you're on with Sebastian Latou, retiring from the Philadelphia Union, but he wants you to win something. Going to read you some lyrics. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Whenever you're ready, Sebastian.
Let's go. At home, drawing pictures of mountain tops, with him on top, lemon yellow sun, arms raised in a V, dead lip in the pools of maroon below. Daddy didn't give attention to the fact the mommy didn't care. King Jeremy is a wicked, rule his world. Jeremy spoke in class today.
All right.
Jeremy spoke in class today.
All right. Steve, do you know the answer?
No idea.
Oh, really? Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
He sounded exactly like the original.
Got to let you go. Sorry, Steve. Let me get another caller, and we'll do the same thing. Hey, Sean, are you there?
Yep, I'm ready.
I just want to hear him say daddy didn't.
Yeah.
Again in a second. All right, Sean, he's going to read you a few lines. Here we go. One more time, Sebastian.
At home, drawing pictures of mountain tops, with him on top, lemon yellow sun, arms raised in a V, delay in pools of maroon below. Daddy didn't give attention
to
the facts.
Sean? Do you know what it is?
Sean?
I think he killed
him. Hey, he hung up.
I think he said, I'm done. He didn't know.
All right.
No, that's incorrect.
I'll do one more. Butch, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Butch, did you hear that or you need to hear it again?
No, I know what it is.
What is it?
Pearl Jam, Jeremy.
Yes! Very easy.
Daddy didn't give it to I do like that. All right, Butch, here's what we got for you.
All right, we got a pair of passes to see 20th Century Fox's Deadpool 2. It's this Thursday at 4:30 p.m. at the Ritz East. Deadpool 2 hits theaters on Friday, May 18th.
All right, and we'll just do one more. Is that cool?
Yes.
All right, let me get our next caller. I'm going to go to Steve. Hey, Steve, are you there?
I am.
All right, Steve, I'm going to hand this to Sebastian. The lyrics, he's going to read them to you. Let's see if you can get through his awesome French accent and find out what song he's singing. Here we go.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe, Rosenbergs, H-Bomb, Sugar Ray, Pan Munjom, Brando, The King and I, and The Catcher of Rye.
Okay.
Eisenhower.
Let me... All right, Steve, do you know what that is?
We Didn't Start the Fire.
That's yeah! Billy Joel.
Catcher of Zarai.
Hang on a second, Steve. We got something for you right here.
All right, we got a Casey Yards Brawler. Yards Brewing Company introduces Brawler, proudly canned in 12-ounce and 16-ounce pounders for the first time right here in the City of Champions. Visit the new Yards Taproom at 5th and Spring Garden or grab them at Garage Fishtown on Girard Avenue.
Nice. Excellent. That was great, man.
Yeah. It was great.
We may have to call you in from time to time.
Thank you, guys.
To do something like that.
Very dramatic readings.
You have my phone number.
Yeah,
we do. And you know what? A number of people are asking what the name of the product was that you're going to be working for the pharmaceutical company again.
So it's the name of the pharmaceutical company is Baron, and the product it's the Arnicare kind of like
Arnicare.
Arnicare.
Yeah.
So they do different products of Arnicare.
Think of like Bengay, but without that like the smell, the stink of a Bengay.
Yeah, but
you don't stink.
You don't stink. But it's Baron is the company, and the actual product is Arnicare. Arnicare.
And it comes in gel, it comes in tablet, it comes in different type of
all right.
Products, so
I'll have to check into this.
Well, listen, it's a new chapter in your life.
Yes.
And, retiring, I guess, might be different than when you're involved in sports. It can be a little bittersweet when you have a career. Sometimes you've worked really, really hard and you're like, okay, I finally get to relax a little bit. But you have other plans. You still got to continue to work and make a living and all that.
Yes, life goes on, but I will be always, involved in soccer no matter what. And I just, love my life. I love you guys. I love my wife.
It's all good. Yeah. And we're so happy you're here. That's awesome.
But thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate
Great
it.
Great to see you. Congratulations. Justin Latou, guys.
Hey!
I did it again.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember I called him Justin when we were at the Belly Flop concert?
Did you? You son of a bitch.
I did.
Did you just call him now?
I just called him that
what
again.
What a disgrace.
Who's Justin?
Justin Thoreau, maybe?
It's a pet name that I have.
Oh, okay.
You guys
Justin.
Are
close. Let's try it again.
Can be my stage name.
Sebastian Latou. On the Preston and Steve Show. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy. I think an excuse me is in order, Kathy.
Come on, Kathy. That was horrible.
Jeez. All right. You know what? There are a few stories that I've noticed that I think that are worthy of bringing up, and I would be remiss if I didn't get to
them. Ladies and gentlemen, rather than be remiss, he has returned. The Noticer.
Not remiss.
No, you don't want to be remiss.
I am Noticer. I try not to be... Listen, we all have our opinions about certain things and what people may believe and what they don't believe and so on. I try not to get too pointed about that stuff, but I...
The Noticer doesn't like to be pointed.
I wholeheartedly think that if you believe this, you're just a moron. You're just...
Okay.
Is this something my mom's going to believe?
No.
Your
mother... Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you just ruined it for me.
Is it? Well, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear what he said.
It's okay. If you believe that the earth is flat.
Oh, okay.
You're just a stone-cold idiot.
And for the record, my mom...
And I feel... honestly, there... And there are people listening right now probably who do, but I'm sorry, and we'll just have to agree to disagree that you're an idiot.
I don't know where this came from. This has become a thing again.
They recently had...
And it was really never a thing even... In Christopher Columbus's time.
They had a convention recently in the UK for the first time, so that's why I bring this up. And I love what these so-called experts come up with as far as their way to contend, their contention, or to...
argue the point.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't even think straight. This stuff twists my melon so much that people would believe this. But anyhow, one of the... At the convention, they saw flat earthers, skeptics, and flat earth curious gathered together for this event. It was in Birmingham. At the event, conference bringer Darren Nesbitt sought to address one of the most obvious problems with flat earth claims. Why people don't just fall off the edge of the planet if they travel too far in one direction.
Which is the obvious, yes.
Right, exactly.
What happened?
Yeah.
They think it's like Asgard.
So here you go. He says that we know that continuous east-west travel is a reality. No one has ever come to or crossed a physical boundary. He says the best explanation is it isn't a curved globe-shaped Earth, Nesbitt thinks. Instead, it could be something like teleportation.
So that when you get to it, you don't even realize you've been transported back to the beginning.
He actually likens it to the game Pac-Man. So, you know, when Pac-Man goes off the right side of the the screen, he ends up on the left side.
A lot of times when I'm driving to work, there are ghosts chasing me down the highway.
This may be it.
So to this guy, that is more plausible.
Yes.
What an idiot.
Than a round Earth. It says here that, you would be transported from one edge of the flat Earth to the opposite edge. Describing this as a logical possibility.
Of course it is, the Pac-Man theory.
For truly free thinkers, Nesbitt said, space-time wraps around and we get a Pac-Man effect.
Listen, I love Pac-Man, but I think if anything explains a flat Earth, it would be Tetris.
Well, that would be, of course, where everything fits in.
Photographic evidence.
I know.
What about the picture taken? Now, I guess, would you have to not believe that we landed on the moon when they turned around and took a picture of the Earth and you saw that it's round, or do you just believe that's a flat disc?
There's a whole other "we didn't land on the moon" segment, group of people, and there's a fantastic, and I've mentioned her YouTube page on the air before. It's called Vintage Space, and she breaks down all the stuff as to why these theories about the landing wasn't real and just destroys it. But anyway,
all right, but the Pac-Man theory. They believe is, or this guy believes, is a logical explanation.
Yep. All of a sudden, just bing, you're like, on the other side.
Yeah.
I am not one for. I don't want to waste resources.
Yes.
But can we just the next space mission? Can we just take empty one seat and put one of these flat earthers in that
seat?
But
the nature of this is that for people who believe this is a conspiracy theory, and there are some that believe it's a conspiracy theory, and there are some others that simply believe this is it, and it's just people are just misinformed. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no way to satisfy the belief that it's flat. But to me, if you can buy a Pac-Man theory quicker than you can the world is round, then there's nothing we're going to say to you.
Steve's right. The moment they send somebody up, an expert, an absolute believer, an expert, send them up into space, they orbit the Earth, they see the truth, they come back and they report it. Well,
he's been turned.
He's been paid off.
He's been brainwashed. He's been turned,
He's been paid off and is now part of the conspiracy.
Part of the deal.
It'll never ring true.
But that's fine.
These people. But I mean, if you look at the whole NASA program and the extent of the 1960s and everything and all the engineering and the people involved and the people who died to make this stuff happen, it's real.
Well, you know what happens?
It's actually real.
But you know, you do notice a geometric theme when you look up at the moon and other planets. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of this because I haven't really investigated the flat earthers too much, but do they believe other planets or that all the planets in the solar system are in fact flat? Or is it just the Earth?
I'm not really sure.
There is a Flat Mars Society.
Oh, Flat
all right.
Mars.
Okay. There we go.
So not only are all of these
They have the convention hall this Saturday. They have to.
Not only are all of these other planets and moons flat, but the Earth is situated in such a way in space that we're looking down on all of them so that they're all perfectly round.
Yeah. We're facing all the various flat sides of the various planets.
Yeah.
It's a tough, you know, it's got to be harder work to just to you know what? Bless them in their vigilance to fight for the flatness. Fight for the flatness.
You poor people.
But you know what?
Just poor people.
It gives them social events.
Yeah, you
things
know what?
To
you're
do.
Right. Yeah.
You mean?
Steve, Steve, it's like in the movie Galaxy Quest where the mom goes, well, he's outside.
He's outside. Yeah, he's going down.
He's going outside.
Yeah. Remember what I said about it is real. I knew it!
All right, I noticed that. I also noticed something the other day when I was sick.
Noticers notice more. When he was sick, he noticed something.
Yeah, I did. A song got stuck in my head. Lying in bed for hours, just not able to go to sleep because I felt like crap, and a song repeating in my head over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And
was it Katy Perry?
No, it wasn't. It was from a movie.
Okay.
So it's not even a hit song or anything like that. The movie Jeff Bridges, he's a country singer. Crazy Heart.
Yeah, great movie.
Fantastic movie. And one of the, and some really great songs.
Yeah,
there's a song called Fallin' and Flyin' in it. And the chorus is really, 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 really catchy. And
right.
I hate country music. I can't stand it. But I couldn't get that hook out of my head. And I saw this. This was actually something I could have used for a stupid question. It was on mental flaws. But it says, when you get a song stuck in your head, the quote-unquote clip that gets stuck, because it's not the entire song it's just a part of a chorus or something like that. The clip generally, on average, in the studies they've done, is about 8 seconds long.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the clip that you hear over and over and over.
I believe that.
Yeah.
When I'm doing something that is rote, yesterday I was cutting the grass. And I don't have headphones on when I'm cutting the grass. And I couldn't get one particular phrase of one particular song that I hadn't even heard yesterday, but it worked its way into my brain. And I think it's Maroon 5, but it's that song where he goes, I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
Do you know that's uncanny. It sounds
A singer.
No, I don't know that song. I'm sorry.
I'm not familiar either.
You probably recognize it.
It's not Maroon 5.
I don't know who it is.
Shawn Mendes, maybe? Or...
Perhaps. Right. It's a pop song.
So, but it's stuck in your head.
I don't want to be anything what I've been trying to be lately.
That was it. I don't know where it came from. I couldn't get it out of my head. And the whole, and so I'm just cutting the grass and... Like, I'm trying to think of other songs to make it flush out of my brain, but I couldn't do it.
You know, it's stuck in my head. For some reason, I swear to God it's stuck in my head, and it's actually been making me angry as I examine the lyrics of the song. Don't be fooled by the rock, the songs that I got. I'm still Jenny from the block.
Well, I know why. Because Jenny DeHuff is coming by today.
Yeah, oh, that's it.
She's interviewing us, and you always call her Jenny, Jenny DeBlock.
Yeah,
or
don't
Jenny,
be fooled by the songs I got. I'm still Jenny from DeHuff.
It was Gavin DeGraw. That's who that is.
Okay, right? That's it. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Preston.
Do you have the actual song?
I thought Marissa was sending it over.
Okay. Wait a minute. Do me a favor and sing that again, because I'm going to time you. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
All right, that was only 4 seconds.
Okay.
All right, sing it twice.
I sang it twice, yeah.
But yeah, so but that's the part you would repeat over and over?
Over and over and over.
And all who did that?
Gavin DeGraw. It's DeGraw. Marissa says she's singing it.
I can't even remember.
I don't want to be anything other than what
I've been trying to be lately. I don't know if I'm familiar with this song.
Mm. But it's, you know, and a lot of times it's not some necessarily a song that you love. It's one of your all-time favorite songs. It's just
I don't even like this song.
In fact, an earworm it's usually something that annoys you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that.
You got to wear headphones when you... It's the best.
Pick out the grass?
Yeah.
So what do you listen to?
I usually listen to The War on Drugs.
Okay.
Deeper Understanding. I just listen to the whole album.
Not the Bill Cotton Kids?
No. Maybe I will next time.
All right.
Yeah. No, I just...
What's the best mowing music?
Well, I mean, I just bought my lawnmower a couple of weeks ago, so I've only mowed it 3 times, and all 3 times I listened to the same album. So,
okay. All right.
I just love that album.
What kind? Can you use earbuds, or do you have to have the phones?
I have my earbuds in, my AirPods.
I would just think that the power of the mower would override the power of the earbuds.
Yeah, like the volume over the ear headphones.
Yeah, but the power of music.
You know? That's
the power of rock.
The power of rock.
Yeah. You want to hear a little bit of the outside, because in case like
I have to hear a little bit.
A crashing plane is heading towards you.
Well, so I have I've taken my dog for a walk with headphones in.
Why does your dog wear headphones?
Because he hears things, and then he barks at everything. But I wear the headphones,
I'm sorry.
I wear the headphones, and every now and again, when a car drives past me, it scares the ever-living crap
out of
me.
Of course. That's why you want to have a little bit of the outside world. In fact, a lot of the higher-end headphones and pods will allow you to pick a mix between what you're hearing from the outside and what you're hearing through the headphones.
I can't wear the earbuds. I have small ear holes.
Mm. You can't wear the earbuds?
Yeah, they fall out.
Ooh, your ear holes are so tight.
Tight ear holes.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
That's awful. Wait.
Can you fit that in there?
I'm going to work with it. Wait.
Ow. No, you're too big. Stop.
You're stretching it out.
Stop.
Your body's too big.
You're going to tear a hole.
My God, I'm going to bleed.
Ear lube. I need some ear lube.
Well, what you can
get... I
just
gave you an ear pie.
I actually bought these things that were like $2 on Amazon.
I just got that. I'm sorry.
Wait, just got what?
Ear pie.
You ever heard the term cream pie before? Yeah, never mind.
Ear, go ahead. I bought these things for like $2 off of Amazon that go around your earbuds so you can
a C-ring.
Basically, yeah. No, no. And then so you can wrap regular earbuds.
Yes.
You know,
over the ear.
Over your ear. Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah. They're good. You know, honestly.
Listen, I want to be able to wear earbuds.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Well,
you know,
maybe
Preston,
you should
let Steve
stretch him out for you.
Yeah, I'll stretch him out because I can really, you know, unpack it. Honestly, what you get, Bose has the earbuds, but there is a connector. I got Worldwide Stereo, love Worldwide Stereo. They turn me on to them. Goes around the back of the neck, so it provides, you know, it has noise canceling, but it doesn't, it's not over the ears, but you're going to get a really damn good sound. And they're amazing, and they're Bluetooth, so they'll connect to your phone.
But part of the of wanting to have earbuds is because they're so damn small and they can fit in your pocket, and it's really easy.
This is a little bigger,
a little bit more. Yeah. So what I need to do is I have molds made of my ear canal, and I use them for the ear plugs that I have. Actually, I need to get a hold of Future Sonics. They're the ones that made that for me, and they could probably make me earbuds for this.
Like in ear monitors, we talk about the Bon Jovi story, but same thing.
I'm actually going to the hearing doctor today, so I'm going to get tested and see how pathetically bad my hearing is. I'm not looking forward to it because I'm a little scared about the results.
Do you think you've hit a stasis, or have you gotten worse?
No, it's gotten worse. And I tell you, you know what kills me? Events like Keenan's.
Yeah.
They're really hard for me to deal with because my hearing has not only have I lost some hearing, but I have the tinnitus as well, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Because you would think with hearing loss that loud noises wouldn't affect me.
No.
It's actually worse.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's
it makes it more sensitive.
It's
okay.
Painful. Yeah.
Okay.
And what about the earphones that you have on right now? Does that cause problems?
No. I mean, I have to monitor the volume.
Yeah.
And to hear the mix and everything, I have them too loud. And it's
if
not
you wore
good.
Them at Steve's level, would it hurt?
Oh my God! Yeah, it would be physically painful for me to do.
So what happens is for when we're speaking, I have them cranked. When the second music comes up, you see me take them off.
Yeah,
because that I couldn't do.
The way it's been explained to me with tinnitus is it's like an exposed nerve on a tooth.
Yeah.
So it's like something sensitive can set it off.
It's like a fly in your Chardonnay.
Right. Yeah.
So ironic.
Remember when we were in Clearwater and we got that feedback really, really, really bad?
Yes. That hurt.
Oh, my God. I thought your head was going to explode.
All right. I'm actually experiencing a little bit of anxiety right now because we haven't played this music. Can you play the guy?
Oh, yeah.
I
don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be
lately. All I can do is sing. All right. That's
Thank
8
you.
Seconds right
that's
there.
That's all I needed.
Speaking
I feel better
of,
now.
Speaking of the hearing problems, I noticed this, Steve. This is a kind of a offshoot.
From the noticer, it's an offshoot.
It's an offshoot. I don't get my music?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where's the goddamn music?
Yeah, man. Listen to the announcer for crying out loud.
By the way, have you noticed that the kids from Stranger Things are getting older and it's looking a little more ridiculous?
This is the actual theme music from Stranger
Things.
All right, so Huey Lewis had to cancel his entire tour.
Yeah, we have some clips of him. I feel so bad for him.
And I wanted to go see. They were going to play in Atlantic City, and I had the date set aside, and I was gonna go. I'm a fan of that band and him, but like me, has some serious hearing problems, and this is him commenting about it. Here we go.
As I walked to the stage, it sounded like there was a jet engine going on. I knew something was wrong. I couldn't find pitch. Distorted nightmare. The bass goes... It's literally noise.
I know what he's talking about.
It sounds what he seems to be describing is if you ever had speakers that have blown.
Yep.
That and they're overdriven. That's what it sounds like he's hearing.
Yeah. So when I talk on my cell phone, I hold it up to my ear. If I hold it too close to my ear, believe it or not, like if I'm holding it in my right ear, in my left ear, I will hear that noise that he's talking about.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, for every time a strong signal comes through, it affects.
An angel gets his wings.
And that too.
So that's got to be very distracting.
It does. It sucks. And he had said, there's another clip where he's apologizing.
Which, like, he as if he has anything to apologize for. I understand, though.
Yeah.
I want to say I'm sorry. Clearly, we're not spring chickens. But I've always prided myself on being reliable. I'm not the greatest singer in the world, but I'm reliable. And I've canceled 5 gigs in my life in 40 years, maybe. I just feel terrible about that.
The guy, he never, you know, he would play sick all the time. Never. He's a hardworking musician.
They say, though, they're you know, that this is, people have had this, have come back. So the fact that it came screaming up on him all of a sudden, it was just that time he described it,
hopefully that means he can reverse it.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday we talked about Phil Collins. I mean, he's touring this fall.
Yes.
So he's been having hearing issues, but he's going to be back out on stage.
Yeah, well, it's actually his wrists and his playing, his ability to play have been an issue as well. So he's a mess.
Sing. There's a few other guys like Pete Townsend and now Eric Clapton, and they're all having issues with the hearing. It does its damage over time.
One of the guys in Crosby, Stills, and Nash, I think it's Stephen Stills. He's fairly deaf at this point, too.
And listen, I'm speaking from experience. It came from playing loud music all the time and playing
rock
with bands and the power of rock. You know, you got to be careful. All right. I noticed another thing
more
here. I actually have a lot more.
He has a lot more.
But I don't know if we have time
for one more.
We don't know if we have time for more.
I noticed.
The Noticer's producer says we only have time for one more.
I noticed that I forgot to watch the Kentucky Derby over the weekend.
Forgot?
I did. I completely forgot about it. It was a little bit busy.
It was on Saturday.
It was on Saturday. It was a little busy.
Started late, man.
Yeah.
They keep pushing the start time back.
But anyway.
Everyone can get their hats on.
But did you see this Texas woman who won $1.2 million on an $18 bet?
Heard about this. Oh, heard about this. Yeah.
What did she get? The superfecta?
She got one of those fectas, man. She was from Austin. She didn't want to be identified, but she did want a pick five bet. She chose the first four race winners correctly, and the Kentucky Derby winner justify as well. So she picked five races in a row.
Okay, so it wasn't just the main race.
No, but
it was
but that was included. So it was one of those deals where, like, my buddy Steve won a. We went to the races one night just for fun, and he got a trifecta.
How much did he win?
On like a $2 bet, he won $800.
Jeez.
Oh. Yeah, it was great. And this was when we were like 21 years old, and we're like, this is all the money in the world!
But so a trifecta is one race, right? It's just
the trifecta. He did a box where the three horses could come in any order, as long as you pick them in the top three, and it hit.
So she basically won, which is, so this would be five subsequent races?
Yeah, five races. She picked a winner in five races.
And what do they call it?
It's an $18 bet. That one was called a pick five. So there's all kinds of bets you can do.
God almighty.
And so that's why, the odds are so slim that's why that's such a big payout.
All right, well, is it kind of like when you do, like in like football betting, what is it called where you bet two games, but if you lose either of the games, you don't win? So she bet all five races, but if she would have gotten any of them wrong, she doesn't win.
Correct. Yeah.
Therefore, she's only picking the winner, one horse in each race to win.
This is a single bet.
You're betting the collective, any mistake you make blows it all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's $18.
It's not for a $1.8 million return.
It's kind of a what the hell shot. So she made the wager at Retama Park Racetrack in Selma, Texas. So she was doing off track betting. Where the spokesperson said it's extremely rare to bet that little amount of money, and when $1.2 million is unheard of. So maybe I don't know why the odds were so high.
Yeah.
For that particular run of races, but jeez, man!
Well, because none of the Justify wasn't a favorite by.
I heard
any
I thought he was a favorite.
Oh, was it? I don't know.
It was a 3-1.
3-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then I'm
it was
wrong.
A fairly tight race, though, down to the end, was it not?
Yeah. Well, he led.
I didn't see it.
He led he led at the turn, and he certainly led down the stretch. But he was jockeying for position. No pun intended.
I think we have the audio if you want to
at least half the race.
By the way, the bet you're talking about, Casey's the parlay.
The parlay. Yep.
All right, here we go.
Justify and Good Magic start to pull away from the others, and they're into the stretch. And it's Justify and Mike Smith turning for home in front. Good Magic and Jose Ortiz a length behind as they come into the final furlong. Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside, who's now up in a third. Justify, a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside, then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome! Justify has won the Kentucky Derby! It was very close for a second. Audible may have got there inside of Good Magic.
I forgot some.
Still Regard in a final time.
Which race it is where the legendary guy who calls a race does that. And down the stretch they come.
Right, yeah.
It's usually the Kentucky Derby.
It's Cabbage, right ahead.
It might be Belmont. I don't know. One of them he didn't quite do it there. Or maybe it's the guy at the track, the track announcer. And down the stretch they come.
I love that. I love that's why Seabiscuit is such a great movie. Because it captures all that.
That's an awesome movie.
William Macy as the track caller.
I love the Iceman. He's like, so long, Charlie.
Yeah.
Takes off. I love it. My dad lives across, almost right across the street from a legendary racetrack called Keeneland in Lexington, and I love going there. They only race for a short amount of time of the year, but it's all the pageantry you want in horse racing.
Okay.
It's gorgeous. Mint juleps, get your shoe shine.
Oh,
hang
really?
Out.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Cool. Preston.
It's really cool.
Who have you ever raced with, Mr. Preston?
Oh, the music means we need to wrap it up.
We need to wrap it up.
Yep, so...
As promised, just one story.
It felt good to be the notice. All right.
It's over. You better clean up your room, or Alice won't make your brownies.
This is the ending music, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Hey, let's give away a chance for you to join us at Parks Casino for a sorority party. Ladies, it's ladies only.
Yes.
It's our sisters.
Ladies and us, guys. We're the only guys. No other guys.
Let's take five. Ladies would like to join us. It's Thursday, May 17th, so a week from Thursday. And it's only an hour. It's just a happy hour. It's a little quick little get-together.
But just hang out. Listen, yeah. And you know, and you can, listen, it's the most casual, the most fun. We always have a blast with our sorority sisters.
Dude, they got a racetrack there at Parks.
Absolutely. Yeah, nice. We'll have a couple of pops.
Lots of gambling. Good time. So let's take five ladies who want to join us. You have to be at least 21, 215-263 WMMR. And it's Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30. A week from this Thursday, by the way, the 360 Lounge and Parks Casino. Check out the brand new Excite Center at Parks Casino. See Dennis Miller. Happy hour includes buffet, and your first drink is on us. You have to be at least 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR and A&T Chevy present MMR's Birthday Bucks.
I just won $1,000 from WMMR.
How about that? I just called to congratulate you on winning
$1,000. Thank you very much. I'll take it.
This is your shot to win $1,000 cash. 5 times a day at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. You'll hear that hour's keyword and simply text it to the special contest text number 40772. One random texter wins $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks, sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville, the Chevy dealer you can trust. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Save some wonderful stories for you in the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the LLS Big Climb Philly. Join Nick and Team Luke on May 19th during the... And Casey, he'll be there. The LLS Big Climb Philly. Climb 46 floors to the top of FMC Tower to support the fight against blood cancer. Visit bigclimbphilly.org/Team Luke. We are going to start off with a pretty amazing, heartwarming, and miraculous story. A kid named Trenton McKinley defied all odds after the 13-year-old boy was severely injured in a dune buggy accident. His parents made the difficult decision to donate his organs following days of him being what they said was brain dead.
Yeah.
But after the papers were signed, he miraculously regained consciousness.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the incident happened 2 months ago when McKinley was playing at a friend's house in Alabama while the teen was riding in a small utility trailer being pulled by a dune buggy. His friend suddenly hit the brakes, caused the trailer to flip. He said, I hit the concrete and the trailer landed on top of my head. After that, I don't remember anything. His mother, Jennifer, told the outlet, Fox outlet, that her son had been dead for 15 minutes when she arrived at USA Medical Center in Mobile.
Oh, my God.
I think maybe brain dead.
Yeah.
But all I saw was a stretcher with his feet hanging out. He was dead a total of 15 minutes, she said, adding the doctors prepared her for the worst. When he came back, they said he would never be normal again. Well, maybe he was. Maybe his heart stopped for that long. I'm not sure. She said they told me the oxidation problems would be so bad to his brain that he would be a vegetable if he even made it. After days of being brain dead, McKinley's parents decided to donate his organs to 5 children in need that were a match for the teen. She said the next time that his heart stopped, they had to let him die, and that was Saturday, or I could sign a paper and donate his organs to save 5 other kids. And they would keep hitting him with adrenaline till Monday. So I signed it. The next day I got a call. They canceled the final brainwave test right before they hooked him up. His hand moved, then his feet. So they looked at his eyes and they were back. He had blue eyes and now they're green with the small white specks. So she said it's a miracle. However, McKinley began showing signs of brain activity just 1 day before the doctors were set to take him off life support.
That's amazing.
McKinley suffered multiple skull fractures as well as kidney failure due to the lack of oxygen after his cardiac arrest, and he continues to suffer from nerve pain and seizures every day, but he's keeping a positive attitude, and dude survived. That's amazing. In Massachusetts, a man who stopped his car in traffic and climbed onto the roof of a school bus on the Mass Pike claims that he just wanted to make sure everyone on board was okay.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, Kevin Crow said, I wanted to make sure that the passengers of the bus were safe. I looked through the front windshield because that was the only window which was not tinted.
You guys all good in there?
Crow, who is 42, has been summoned to appear in court on charges of disorderly conduct.
For protecting children?
The bizarre incident, which was captured on the bus dash cam, happened as other motorists were passing by at about 7:45 p.m. Crow could be seen stopping in the middle of the travel lane, forcing the school bus traveling behind him to stop. He then proceeded to get out of his car and tried to gain access to the bus, only to be denied entry by the driver, Joe Rizzoli.
Well, excuse me for caring.
When the bus driver attempted to drive away, Crow walked in front of the bus, jumped on the hood, and started yelling at the driver. Rizzoli said Crow yelled at him, "Why are your windows dark?"
Good question.
After confirming everyone on the bus was all right, he said, I allowed the bus driver to proceed down the highway.
Proceed.
That is what happened, and that is why it happened. There were no students on the bus at the time, but...
Here's this good, completely insane Samaritan.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Jumping on the hood.
Jumping on the hood to make sure to correct the overly tinted windows.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of a highway.
You know, wow. Some people don't use the word hero enough.
They don't use it enough. Or imbecile. Or yeah. Together often.
Right, right. Here's a great story. Colorado police ticketed a Denver woman for allegedly damaging a 7-Eleven microwave by heating up urine inside of it, would cause it to explode.
Yeah. Piping hot piss is really, it's really good.
Angelique Sanchez was issued a summons for damaged property.
Was she attempting to filter out impurities or?
No, not that. So the microwave is reportedly worth about $500. So a police report shows Sanchez left the 7-Eleven after the incident and was found waiting at a nearby health clinic for a physical and urinalysis for a future job. Now, here's why she did it, though. Medic experts say that during a drug test, urine is checked to ensure that it is at body temperature, yes. Not room temperature.
Ah.
So it wasn't her pee.
Yep.
So she and
there
she was trying,
you go.
She was trying to warm it up to make it seem as if it had come out of her body.
Excuse me, I want to heat up this taco and my piss.
This is one way of telling if the urine sample was actually given at the time of the test. So the police report shows the 7-Eleven clerk called police on Sanchez after hearing a loud bang a few seconds after Sanchez placed something in the microwave.
Oh, man.
The clerk told police Sanchez looked at the microwave and walked out the door, and then the clerk noticed yellow liquid dripping from the microwave, and the smell was unquestionably urine.
Dear God.
The police report shows the employee asked Sanchez to clean up the mess. Sanchez reportedly told police that she had cleaned up the mess and did not understand what the problem was.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I'll use those to heat up pretzels.
Yeah. By the way, she's been arrested several times and convicted of theft.
Yeah, she may want to reconsider where her life has taken her.
Mm-hmm. Should I wrap it up there?
Yeah.
All right. We got to wrap it up, gang, in the interest of time.
With hot,
right.
Hot pee?
Hot piss. Good hot way to piss. Wrap it up, man. All right. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. More coming tomorrow. I got a lot of stories.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So we'll take a break, come back in a second. We'll see if you've been paying attention because we will have a lesson question. And don't forget that listener Ashley has been getting a tattoo this
morning.
Yes. We've got to see how that turned out with our tattoo artist, James. So we'll check in with those guys and more. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PresidentSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
MMR's birthday box. This is the last week to get in on it. Next shot coming up in less than an hour. Pierre's going to have a word at 11. And a number for you to text that word into. And it's very, very simple. We just grab a random texter and somebody might win $1,000, but we're running out of time.
But still, many thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Still a lot of money up for grabs, but you're right. It all ends at the end of the week.
Yep, so give it a shot. Please do, especially if you haven't tried yet. We're going to do, Case, can you move the lesson music up, please, quick, so I can do the lesson question?
Go ahead.
Right? Yeah. Because we are going to give away this morning a pair of tickets to see William Shatner. We're just talking about him. Some woman stole his underwear the
other day. Where's my underwear?
Yeah. Or Can you say panties, please?
Where are my panties?
Yeah, so maybe he'll tell this story because he's doing a Q&A at this event at the Academy of Music, and it's a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, which is a great movie.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. All right, so the question that I have for you this morning is, the guy who wanted to smoke a joint with President Trump also wanted to do hot yoga with which Supreme Court justice? 215-263-WMMR. The guy who wanted to smoke a joint with Trump also wanted to do hot yoga with which Supreme Court justice? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. Call now. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Mark your calendar for May 25th to join the Preston and Steve Show, live from Kenan's in North Wildwood for the official opening of the Jersey Shore. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, now that Blac Chyna's connection to the Kardashians is all but over, her earning power for club appearances has dropped from $30,000 to $7,000 per gig. Chyna's trying to sell the positive, though, saying that for just $7,000, you'll get $30,000 worth of standing around and doing nothing.
Right. Oh, right. My God.
Jennifer Aniston was seen out on what was described as an attempted secret date with Jake Gyllenhaal over the weekend. Gyllenhaal wouldn't say if it was a date, but did admit he was planning on doing the clap from the Friends theme using his junk and her backside.
Wow.
Oh. And finally, 9-year-old rapper Lil Tay. Do you know Lil Tay?
No.
Well, she's feuding with 15-year-old Cash Me Outside girl Danielle Bergoli, calling her a stupid bitch and a whore.
What?
Now, before you jump to conclusions, both these young ladies have really good parents.
Oh, yeah.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we shall see if you've been paying attention this morning. Do you know the answer to our lesson question? The guy who wanted to smoke a joint with Donald Trump also wanted to do hot yoga with which Supreme Court justice? 215-263-WMMR. And so it's Jim who we're going to go to first. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jim, who did the guy want to do hot yoga with?
Oh, the super hot Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That is correct.
Yeah. You got it.
Hang on, buddy. For James, we have a pair of tickets to see the one and only Mr. William Shatner at the Academy of Music May 17th, including a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and a Q&A with Shatner. Tickets and information are available at KimmelCenter.org. Time to get to the music news, so let's do that.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What is that?
Brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer. Trex is engineering what's next in outdoor living. Visit your Trex experts at A.D. Moyer Lumber and see how Trex can enhance your outdoor oasis. ADMoyer.com. We'll begin with an announcement we made earlier this morning. That is, the Rock Allegiance is coming back to Philadelphia. It's going to be on a Saturday, which is great. October 6th, BB&T Pavilion this time around. And Wiggins Waterfront Park, so that's that marina area.
Yeah, they did last year, right? They fleshed it out a little bit more.
Yep. So it's one day, three full stages of rock. Now there's some pretty interesting bands that they have in the lineup. So it's going to be hardcore, as you would imagine. Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit. Who saw that one coming?
No, did not see that coming. Though I bet they probably put on a solid show.
Papa Roach.
Yeah.
Bullet for My Valentine. Of Mice and Men, Skillet, who we've had here in the studio. They're great.
Yeah.
And these two are pretty wild, man. Gwar and Insane Clown Posse are going to be, along with Fozzie, Beartooth, and many more.
That is an incredibly aggressive bill. I think it's pretty wild. Even if you're on the fence, I think most people would say, wow, Insane Clown Posse and Gwar alone should get you out there.
It's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
So the pre-sale starts tomorrow at noon, and then the general on sale is Friday at noon. And if you want all the details, you can get them at WMMR.com. As I mentioned, Royal Blood members Mike Kerr on bass and vocals and Ben Thatcher on drums recently talked about the jobs that they had held down prior to founding the band back in 2013. Thatcher, the drummer, had said there during a recent interview, "I was in a wedding band, a function band, so I played the drums, which I still do now, but at weddings." And asked if he had any favorite songs, he said, "Yeah, Rock With You."
Oh, the Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, I'm thinking. Oh, he said, that. He said, that's a good song. And I liked playing Come On Eileen, he said. Once I was driving, but I put on that jam and I sang along really loud. I came up to some traffic lights, got a little knock on the window. There was a guy in a suit and rolled down the window. He said, you wouldn't mind turning that down, would you? We're just having a funeral. So apparently he was cranking it up right there. And he said, luckily, her name wasn't Eileen. Mike Kerr chimed in saying, I worked in a cafe, adding that he dabbled in being a coffee barista, but was actually very bad at that. They released their second full-length album, How Did We Get So Dark, last June, and they're still doing great. Pearl Jam is going to be the subject of a new exhibition at the Museum of Pop Culture in Seattle. It was announced on Monday. Billed as the most extensive celebration yet on the group's music, the exhibit will feature more than 200 artifacts provided directly from members of the band or their Seattle warehouse. The exhibition, dubbed Pearl Jam Home and Away, will coincide with the band's Seattle concerts, and it opens to the general public on August 11th.
They could have the General Lee there?
I don't know if they'll have the General Lee or not, but, I mean, you think Eddie's a fan or was a fan?
I would imagine.
It's got the greatest horn.
Yeah. he's mainly the horn. He was a fan. Pearl Jam archivist and videographer Kevin Shuss said...
Shuss, the little one.
Said, with the help of the talented crew at Mopop, we're using the idea that we started with at PJ20 and taking the Pearl Jam Museum to a whole new level. Focusing on items from tours and memorabilia from the band's warehouse, the exhibit will be a must-see for any Pearl Jam fan.
You going to head out there, Nick?
I'm thinking about going to the Northwest this summer, and that would be a great time to go. I'd really like to go see that show in Seattle, or one of the two Home and Away shows. I was thinking about this exhibit. It would come in handy right before a round of Crack Shot, if we ever play that again. The minutia that some Pearl Jam fans are able to ask.
Can brush up on that.
Yeah.
Spanning 28 years, the exhibition is going to feature personal instruments, equipment, stage props, original typewritten lyrics and notebooks, original poster and album art, set list, and a photo op featuring the towering letters from the front of Pearl Jam's 1991 debut album 10, which would be pretty cool. But you think Patrick Warburton will go to...
Warburton?
Yeah, he might.
I'm sure he would. Yeah, he's a huge fan. And what's the name of his cover band?
I forgot.
It's a Pearl Jam pun.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it is.
Well, and he has a special room.
Yeah. A man cave in the backyard.
That has a Pearl Jam centric name as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's an Uber fan.
Yeah.
And he's gotten, he got a set list put together for him one night.
God, one of the funniest.
He was allowed to pick, yeah.
One of the funniest stories was him. Eddie gave him a T-shirt. At the concert, he was with his wife and they were in the car on the way home and he puts it up to his nose. He goes, washed it. Yeah. He was so disappointed that it didn't have. And he sweat all in it.
Off the charts.
I washed it. Pearl Jam Home and Away is going to be included with Mopop General Admission and will remain on view until early 2019. Late Metallica bassist Cliff Burton is the subject of a new documentary from Burstock Productions called The Salvation Kingdom. The new 90-minute movie features previously untold stories of the life and death of a legendary bass player, many of them recounted by his biological older sister, Connie Burton. Connie answers questions in the film about who her brother was, what he was like as a child, what, if any, eccentric habits he had, and what were some of his influence as well as his views on God, the spiritual realm, and the devil. The film also probes what Metallica might have been like if Cliff had never joined the group. He was asked to join Metallica in 1982 after the band saw him perform with his group at the time, Trauma. He was not willing to move to Los Angeles, where Metallica was based at the time, so they decided to move to the San Francisco area so that he would join the band.
Well, that says a lot about him.
It does. And he made the first three studio albums with him, but of course he was killed 24 years old in the tour bus crash September 27, 1986 in Sweden. And then one last story. Queen and Adam Lambert are headed to the Vegas Strip. The band is set for a 10-date run throughout September at Park Theater at Park MGM. So it's a kind of a mini residency they're going to be doing.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine he's a good front man to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, no one can replace Freddie Mercury, but He seems to be in the vein.
Guitarist Brian May said in the announcement of the Sin City dates, we're ready to take on the ultimate challenge to dazzle Vegas. Drummer Roger Taylor added, we're looking forward to rocking the strip with the audaciously and phenomenally talented Adam Lambert. So they're playing September 1st, 2nd, 5th, 7th, 8th, 14th, 15th, 19th, 21st, and 22nd. One of the performances will take place on September 8th on, quote, Queen Day.
Queen Day.
Yeah, a date Vegas ex-mayor Oscar Goodman had enacted back in 2004.
And Jeff Dunham is opening for that.
I don't know if that's true. Steve, when we were in the suite last week at the Bon Jovi show, I was talking to a couple of listeners who went to the Adam Lambert Queen show last year, and they could not stop talking about how awesome it was.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, they really, really enjoyed it.
That, talk about one of the big regrets is never seeing Queen with Freddie Mercury. But, yeah. You know, I like the feedback
and
on
I
this.
Think Adam Lambert doesn't try to be Freddie Mercury.
No.
He just is who he is, and he pays tribute. But I think it's done in a pretty... loving fashion, but not just trying to rip off that band.
Yeah. Seeing Brian May play would be pretty awesome,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Adam Lambert bothered the hell out of me. I actually watched that season of American Idol, and I couldn't stand him. And,
yeah.
You know.
And now you adore him.
I don't. You know, and I for one, am one person that I won't go see.
Wow.
I won't
protest?
Go see these guys.
Hold on, no. Marissa's commenting.
I went to the show last year, and it was amazing. He comes out, and he sings a couple of songs, and it's, like, very big and boisterous, and it's a huge stage show with big props and things coming from the ceiling, and he's riding bicycles. And then he kind of just steps to the side, and he's like, listen, I'm not trying to be Freddie, and I'm just happy that I can share the music. And the audience is very mixed because there's a lot of young girls and just young kids who were into him as a artist on, was it American Idol?
American Idol, yeah.
And then just Queen fans. And yeah. It was a really fun mixture. There's a really cool energy about it.
How was the harmonizing for, like, you know, the more intense songs?
It was beautiful. Huh. It was beautiful. And they do a couple of videos where it's Freddie singing and he leaves the stage. But he nails it.
That's cool.
A great voice.
Nice. All right, and that is the last bit that I have for music news. So there you go. We'll have to take a break, come back in a second. We got it. We haven't checked in with Ashley yet.
We have not. Ooh.
Tattoo.
I mean, okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that when we get back?
We can do that when we get back.
Do when we get back.
I love you.
I don't know why I love that guy.
Whatever badge.
I love you. Yeah. I love you too. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Pierre should be here as well, so we'll get the letter of the day. We'll need that. Stay with us.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
Getting ready to wrap up our radio program for the day, but we do have a couple of orders of business that we need to handle before we get out of here for today. But just reminding you, it's going to be a beautiful day today. Sunshine, 76, just flat out enjoyable. Partly
amazing.
Cloudy, 77 tomorrow, Thursday, 80 degrees. We're in that zone right now, which is wonderful. We might get a little bit of rain on Thursday, so going to keep an eye on that for you. But it is a Tuesday, and we haven't checked in yet, so we got to make sure that we find out how things went. With Tat Tuesday this morning, on Tuesdays, we provide a little free ink for listeners of the Preston and Steve Show from time to time. We would like to welcome listener Ashley to our program.
Yeah. Thank
you. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. And we would like to welcome James. James works at Philadelphia Eddies. He's the man who did the ink. Nice to see you, my man. So, Ashley, have you been waiting a while to get your tattoo?
Couple months.
Yeah. Couple months.
Yeah. So, I mean, what people don't realize, because I know that there are people on the waiting list for years and years, is that when we switched our email over from Greater Media to Beasley, we lost everything.
Oh, you had to go start over?
Yes, we had to start over again. So anybody that's been on the waiting list for a really long time, now's the time to email in.
Wow.
Because the waiting list at one point was probably about 7 years. Now it's about a year, year and a half, something like that.
Through no fault other than it was a glitch, and that was it. So, you know, it is what it is, so.
Wow.
There you go.
Meaning we lost everything.
Everything.
And all sorts of other stuff, too, but we won't go into that.
Ashley, where are you from?
Quakertown.
You're from Q-Town.
Q-Town. Yeah.
Not too far from there.
Right.
Do you work out that way?
Yeah. I work. My office is in Quakertown, and then I'm doing a job in the city right now.
What do you do?
I'm a project coordinator.
Project coordinator.
All right. Nice. Good for you. How old are you, may I ask?
26
years old. Okay,
you
cool.
look younger.
You're very, yeah, you look very young. That's the thing. So I'm looking at the tattoo. You want to describe what you got here?
I got a half of a lion's face with some smoke around it. I have a wolf, so I kind of kept the theme going with
Getting a lion.
Yeah, I thought
so
it was.
So it's a loof.
I thought it was a little better than a half of a skull face, which I originally went for, but I liked the softer side of the lion.
Well, this is on your left forearm, and that's a big tattoo.
Yeah,
that's a large part. But I see you have some other ink as well, so this is a thing for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you going to complete the other side? So that's a half a lion face, and are you going to complete the other half on the other arm?
No.
Okay.
Oh, so you go like that? So
you can go like the back page of Mad Magazine.
Yeah. Squeeze your arms. Yeah, yeah. And then you got a whole lion.
It's really well done.
That is gorgeous.
It
man.
Is. It's
James,
a beautiful, yeah.
Nice work, man. What is your specialty? Anything in particular?
Lions.
I mainly do lions.
Half lions. Anything that has to do with nature. I kind of actually like to do more so color, but I'll do black and gray too.
Okay, yeah, that's when this one doesn't have any color in it. Is that
no? Just yeah.
are you doing that with all your tattoos? Just keeping them black and shaded in that
monochromatic?
Yeah,
yeah. I might get some color in this one here, but I haven't decided yet.
What's the one on your other that you just raised on your sleeve on? What is that?
It's a memorial tattoo for a friend that passed away.
Oh,
in a
okay.
Motorcycle accident.
All right,
nice. How long have you been working over at Eddie's?
About 4 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just started there?
Yeah. All
we right. need a lion man. Who do we
get? James. Stat.
Yeah.
It is really, really, really well done.
It
man.
Is.
I'm just amazed at the talent of some people, man. And the fact that you can do that on skin, you know, versus on paper is
right.
just incredible. And you can see our initials, the P and S, down by the wrist, which is cool. So that's nice. Beautiful. Congratulations on a great tattoo.
Thank you.
Ashley, anybody you want to say hello to while you're here?
My friend Chelsea and my friend Courtney and then my family, right. my mom and dad.
Excellent. And, James, thanks for coming by, man. Hopefully we'll see you again sometime soon.
Yeah.
If people want to contact you, they just go through, PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com.
They can also reach me at my Instagram too. It's, Raven_tattoos.
Okay. We'll make sure we post that somewhere where it's easy for people to get. So thank you guys for coming by. Enjoy
well
the ink.
Yes.
And we appreciate you being here for Tattoos Day today.
Yeah.
All right, now get the hell out of here. There's a man coming in, and we need some room for this gentleman.
Clear the deck.
But before we welcome him, I want to thank our buddy Sebastian Latou for being here this morning, our lone guest on the show.
Yes.
Sebastian, superstar of the Philadelphia Union, has retired, or at least he's retiring today, signed a one-day contract to officially retire from professional soccer as a member of the Philadelphia Union. And he's staying right here, lives in Fishtown, and him and his wife Kendall came by today. It was really cool to see him. So we'll stay in touch. We'll still do some stuff with him.
So glad he's here.
With that accent, how can we not do something with him?
It's all fake, by the way. It's all,
really? No, it's nuts.
Yeah. What's that?
Noise nuts.
Noise nut.
I thought you said you had noisy nuts. I'm like, wow, that's an affliction.
Do you know how to say cut the grass in French?
No.
Mow de lawn.
Ah.
That's how you do.
Do we please have a rim shot anywhere?
Okay.
For because that was that was very rim shot worthy. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Pierre.
Just sing on.
It's working loud and clear, man. So what are we should do the letter, I guess,
yeah.
right? All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter?
M as in meticulous.
Oh, mow the lawn, I thought you were going to say.
Mow the lawn.
I didn't think of that. I'm sorry. On my TV show, they do that.
Why that's making me laugh so
How
much.
Hot was it?
No, we're supposed to say it was so hot.
I know.
Okay. Mow the lawn.
Mow the lawn.
Hot. It was so hot. Mow the lawn.
You are wrong, butter breath.
It's the Head Trauma Tonight Show.
Anyway.
By the way, the prize we have for the Word of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
$500 gift card from Steven Singer Jewelers, and $500, of course, could get Mom a whole bouquet of gold-dipped roses and Steven's I Love You to the Moon and Back necklace. Show the sweet loves in your life how much they mean to you, and for memorable last-minute Mother's Day gifts, you can visit IHateStevenSinger.com. How are you?
Fine. You know, you're talking about earworms. Nick, have you ever had a commercial earworm?
Oh, sure, yeah. But lately it's songs.
Well, I always have songs going in my head. I talk about it. I mean, from the moment I wake up, if I don't have music near me, there's a song in my head. However, you were playing one of our sponsors on the way in, and then I started singing from the parking lot into here. I need a structured settlement, and I need cash now. J.G. Wentworth. So
it happened.
Now, on tomorrow's show, who do we have? I have Bert.
Wait, did you just add, did you just ask my question?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just.
You were moving it along.
I love it.
Well, because efficiency and fluidity are of my nature.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I will have birthday bucks at 11 and 1. We only have a couple more days now.
Still a lot, though, but you got time is wasting away.
We're talking $5,000 a day.
Yes.
So many opportunities yet to win. We'll have more of those Phil Collins tickets, which is incredible. And you just announced Rock Allegiance, and I got a pair of tickets to give away for it, which will be fun on Saturday, October 6th. Our archive selection today at 1:30 will be Collective Soul. And that's pretty cool.
I loved your Grateful Dead yesterday, by the way. It was awesome.
You.
It was windows down in the car. Awesome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm pleased that it was pleasing to you. And also then for Workforce Bucks, some fun there too. Tom Petty, KG Elephant, Van Halen, and a vinyl cut. And if all of that is not enough, it's Double Shot Tuesday.
Excellent on a beautiful day like today.
A lot going on.
He's good stuff.
He's good. All right.
How hot is it?
Mow the lawn.
Let me thank our sponsors.
Yeah, so we're never going
to go. Okay, the President Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. The President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. It's also brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer, and by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center, and it's center, the number 4, healing.com. Tomorrow on our program, it's Wednesday, so we're going to go live on Fox. Good day. And the Sixers, little glint of hope.
There sure is.
We will have announcer Mark Zumoff on the program tomorrow to talk a little bit about that.
We'll do a Santeria ritual.
Maybe we'll need to do that. And we'll have a bunch of stuff to give away as well. So that is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. And we shall see you tomorrow, my friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Dear inventor of the snooze alarm, I hate you because you allow a certain person to snooze their alarm for 2 hours. If you haven't got out of bed within 15 minutes of your alarm going off, I'm going to shut your off. And if you're late, you're late.
Next message.
Hey, Donut Newman. Yeah, you better get your nuts fixed.
Next message.
Is it possible for me to do with anything performance-wise without there being drama? With the chorus that's, they're not doing anything. Oh, she's a diva. She, I didn't get that part. Shut the up and enjoy your time on stage, you dumb.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.